Yeah, we are recording. I actually never thought to ask Chris if you were ready to start recording. Sorry, that was rude of
I'm
me.
always ready, always ready, I
Born
am.
ready, were you? Right, okay.
Yep,
Well,
yep.
I was just telling the lads here, dear audience. Right, Drew, you're very visible because you've got a light enough screen, but you are. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
He always is, though, isn't he, ladies and gentlemen, when
He's a
the other
slouch. He's a
judges?
slouchy person.
Am I any higher up?
Not really. Your head's just poking over the flagging no more there. That looks better. That looks better. Your microphone's high. I can tell where your microphone is if it's going to be working for us.
Part of the problem is every time I stand up, my seat falls apart and I have to reassemble it.
Duct tape or something else?
It's no, I could explain it,
I
but
need
no,
to.
it's
I need
just.
to. I'm going to buy a new seat. I've been trying to repair or rescue the best bits of three seats, and none of them fit. Any of the parts fit together. So I'm just going to fuck it. I'm just going to buy a
Thing
new
is,
chair.
I can't afford a new chair, and even if I could, I just my brain. I don't want to spend money on a fucking chair.
Yeah, I'm like
It
that. It
should
seems
just
like a
happen.
yeah, a chair's like a. It should be a thing
You should
that
buy
you should
one
have.
chair and it should last you for the
They
rest of
should
your
last.
life.
They don't though. The gas lifts are made so cheaply these days.
Well,
Just don't.
the pro part of the problem is my previous chair. My mum stole it from her work. Cops come after me. She's dead. Fuck you. Her previous work, she worked in a like an advertising agency, so they had fucking nice chairs, and she stole one. And it was so it was so it was more comfortable than like a lot of like armchairs. It was a lovely, really comfortable chair. And eventually, that just gave out, and I'm on this piece of shit now. But
Interesting,
they
you
can
say
make.
that talking about nicked chairs. Like my favorite chair I've ever had. I mean, it wouldn't have lasted this long because it was like I had it in the late 90s. But my favorite chair that I ever had was actually it was a high backed office chair, but it was one of those materially ones.
Yeah.
Not a
Oh, yeah.
you know, it wasn't like a
Not the
foamy
mesh.
one, not a meshy
Yeah.
one. No, way before those existed as
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
normal chairs. But anyway, it was a very comfortable chair. Needed a wee bit of repair and I fixed it. But the reason that I had it was I actually stole it from my ex-wife. When we split up,
Hey!
I stole a nice chair. I took the nice chair.
What a win.
Because I'm a cunt. But I had to leave it in Scotland when I moved back down here. And it's like it's one of those, you know, you have a regret
Yeah.
losing that. And it was green, which I loved because it was like a
Yeah.
nice green. It was it wasn't like a garish green or a dull green. It was just a nice middly
Yeah.
shade of green that worked really well. And it was a super comfy chair. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Aha, right now. Right, okay. As I was saying to the lads before we started, got my notes for the episode. Series 3. Sorry, series 5. Episode 1. It's my own right.
Yeah.
Exodus is the name of the episode. And I made these notes. Is there an echo?
Drew is breathing again.
No,
God
there is like a light, a
damn it.
very slight
Oh,
echo.
there is. It is.
Is it coming from
Yeah,
me?
I think it is.
How?
Are you on headphones?
I am.
Is your ear right up to the.
I mean,
Sometimes.
to be fair, it was, yeah.
Okay, one,
Maybe
two, three,
a full.
four. No, I can still hear it. It's like there's.
Okay.
It is like somebody's got, like, you know, when you get headphones, somebody's on the bus with headphones playing really shit music. It's like that, but it's
Yeah, no,
our
it's coming.
voices.
Is it coming through my? Is it happening now?
Well, I can't hear it, which means it's me.
Can I hear it? I don't think I
No,
can hear it, but
it's only me that's repeating for some reason. Oh, wait a minute, it stopped. Oh no, it came
okay.
back. Bollocks.
Oh no, I
Oh.
can hear it, kind of hear it too. I just
Yeah.
don't. Yeah.
Right, okay, let's listen up. Anyway, made my notes with dun da da my very own
Yellow.
Lamy
Lamy
Safari. Now,
Safari.
there is a story. I could have waited and bought it online this week and picked a color, and I would probably have ended up picking the same color as you. But once I saw this in person, they only had two colors in the shop that was left in the shop, and it was some really shitty gray, but it wasn't a nice gray even. It was some sort of, I think it might even have been the transparent or some shit like that. I didn't like it anyway. Or the yellow. And once I saw the yellow in person,
Yeah, I
well,
like that
I
yellow.
actually
I
thought,
really
that's
like
okay,
that.
I'm going to get that. And I mean, I
Yeah.
think it was like 2 quid dearer than it was online, but obviously you don't have to pay postage when you buy it in a shop, you know. And I picked up some black ink because it came with one blue ink cart, which I'll never ever use
So
because I
you
hate
use
blue
black
ink.
ink.
Yeah, I'm a black ink person. Are you a blue inker, are you?
I'm a green inker, I am.
Green ink? A lot of people don't like that on forms and things.
I don't use this on forms. I'm not going to let some fucking bureaucrat look at this precious slammy ink. No.
But it's, you know. And you're a cartridge user, but Drew, you've got the refill. You've got the cartridge adapter with refill option. Yeah. I wanted to get that, but again, we didn't have that.
With this pen.
Oh, is that for your poems and stuff?
I think my love letters, Chris. You should tell the story of when a lady came into your office and you were writing in blue.
Oh my God, I love
that story.
I remember it so vividly. So I was at my news desk and I was just working away, and this very posh old dear came in. And it was a very trivial thing. It was like, oh, can you make sure the latest Women's Institute meeting is in the paper or something that you do with the local paper. And she wanted to know the editor. The editor wasn't in. So I was like, all right, I'll take your details. Editor will get back to you. And I gave her a blue pen. And the way that she looked at this blue pen and reflected on it, she was like, oh, a blue? Like, what was the exact word she said? It was like, oh... It was basically, she was basically calling me the old timey person for woke. Like, it's like, oh, what a hippie writing in blue ink.
Blue ink, yeah.
Blue ink. Wow,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I've always been a black ink person. I'm on her side.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, sort of ever since that day, I'm like, you know what? I might go green.
I do like writing in other colours, but it's like... I don't like switching pens, so I just end up going to black most of the time. It's just stick with the pen, you know.
Green ink and a green pen. If I get if I get a Lamy Safari, I may get one for black, but I don't like when it comes to forms. Sometimes you got like shitty glossy paper and shit like that. Sometimes I just go. I've got like a Parker Biro. They're pretty good for biros. And this is like I write for fun in this thing, so I can get away with any color I want. But
once you've gone Lamy, you'll never go back.
Oh, no, no. Once you've gone Fountain,
you'll never go back, I think.
I think Fountain pens in general are good, but the Lamy, the Safari in particular, it just fucking works.
It's an everyday sort of pen still.
So long as it's got ink in it, if it's got ink in it, it'll work.
Or it doesn't have ink in it.
Exactly.
Well, this one, as you can see, I don't know how long it would take to settle, but I mean, I've only had it for a day and a bit, so it's not going to be, you know, that much in it. But,
and it stands out on a desk if it's a bright colour.
That's true. Yep. Yeah, that was another reason I thought, I can pick it up then, yeah.
The transparent pen. As if we don't already have enough of, I can't find my pen.
Yeah.
Let's make it harder.
So it's, I'm a pleased... I'm pleased to.
That is a big part of the reason, because I've got a black desk, a black carpet, a dimly lit room. I like the green, but part of it was just like I want something that I can see it wherever it is. Yeah.
I've got it with a few bunch of things. I got like this little paintbrush that I use for like small dusting. So if there's like some dusty, clean the keyboard a little bit with it. Oh right, yeah. But this is the point. And it's like, and I got a few other odd bits of tools. Oh sorry, that I knocked the mic in the corner. And it's like the Lamy stands out. If I need a quick make a note, boom, I know which one of these. I don't end up writing with my paintbrush or whatever. But it's it's just good for dusting. You know, it gets the dust out of the.
Yeah, I got a set of those anti-static ones a little while ago, and that's been good for like cleaning PCBs and stuff. But there's a couple of the ones in there are more for like cleaning out your keyboard and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, but I've been looking at there was a YouTuber. I don't look on YouTube very often, especially not. Oh, that's another thing that's changed recently for me, is I've started using the VPN.
Oh yeah.
The mole one. What's it called?
Mulvad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you were talking about the browser, weren't you? And I looked it
I
up.
Got the browser.
And I
was like, The browser. It's Firefox based and it's based also on the Tor version of Firefox.
Okay,
and it's brilliant. I mean, some stuff doesn't work very well, but it's things that I think, I know why it's not working. That's because it's blocking something that they don't want you to, you know. And it's like, nah, fine, I'm fine with that. And I've still got LibreWolf installed, and obviously Chromium's there for, you know, those things that don't work with it. Unfortunately, the one thing it doesn't work with this browser, and I can't quite work out why, is my VTT, my Foundry VTT, virtual tabletop for RPG games, it won't even show me a login screen. It's just like it gets the background and the sort of text, and then the little script doesn't come up. But I mean, it always works better in Chromium anyway, to be honest. It's like, and I can't really fault people that are making a web app for sort of choosing a browser. You know, it's not ideal, but I can sort of see when you're making a really huge program, with a server side and front ends and everything. It's like, you kind of have to go with whatever's the popular thing, you know, and it works.
When I've made websites, like personal projects and stuff, just like toys, and sometimes I mess around in JavaScript back in the day, making little toys and stuff, and I just make it work in whatever browser I'm using at the time. If it doesn't work in other browsers, you know, you use Firefox or don't.
Something like that, So I've been using that, and that's been good. It's not affecting anything here. And also, it was very easy. I've seen people talking about problems with VPNs using KDE Connect. But there's basically a toggle. So on my phone, I've got the thing installed. And on my desktop, I've got the app installed, the application installed. And there's like a toggle for local network stuff. So as long as your local network isn't compromised, obviously that'd be a problem. But as long as your local network, you trust it, then obviously you just boom.
I assume you're using the WireGuard rather than the OpenVPN.
I believe it is.
It's nicer.
Hang on.
Actually, I think mine's on WireGuard, if I'm not mistaken.
It's much easier to do manually, and it's just more efficient. It's built into the kernel.
WireGuard.
Yeah,
nice. I'm such a loser. I just use the NordVPN app, but
this is the Mulvad app as well, because it works.
Yeah,
very nice.
I think
it's a wee bit iffy on my desktop because I don't use a desktop. I just use I think so. I just saw a really good thing on the Fediverse, which I've just boosted to you guys. I'll show it to the. I'll show it. Can I grab the picture and put it on something?
Yeah, grab.
Copy image. can I put it up there? Yes, I can. Right. I've put it on my screen, but you guys can see it. Better. Like, it's. I thought it was quite funny.
Oh, that's a nice font. I'm going to boost something.
A nice font?
Yeah, might have a look at that for my time. I'll just
Martian
it.
Model. Oh! Martian, that does look like a nice
right.
font.
It's an image. It's not an image, it's a video, so I can't just drag and drop it anywhere.
I need to look at the G's. I like the curly G's.
That looks nice. I too am going to boast that. That's, we need to do a font review. Oh, we could tier
some fonts. I've got one of my favorites. I'll have to definitely tell you that one. Anyway, before we get in some sort of rabbit hole,
before we get off this tangent,
the tangent's fine. Just not. I don't want to keep clicking things on the internet and finding more.
It's okay. But if you want to look at some interesting fonts, chrisware.wales. I've just put some new fonts on my website. I've just put the text in different fonts.
It's now a font. It's now a font repository.
Yeah.
He doesn't love a good font.
I used to be very interested in font. I made a few fonts back in the day. I used to be very into typography, and now I'm very lazy. Like, I want a nice looking font. But I just want a nice looking font, and then not have to worry about it for 5 years until I get bored of it. Like, I just want to be done. But I want that. IBM Plex Mono is what I used
that one for a while. Yeah, because I was on Comic Mono, which is the Comic Sans monospace font.
I've seen
Comic
that,
Sans is a good font. I will defend Comic Sans. It is a good
it's
font.
Not,
for
yeah, it's
intended.
Not as bad as people say. It was just misused by a lot of people.
It's misused, that's the problem.
Font is because people don't understand the difference between typefaces and you know, style choice. People just go, click that font and make it this size and then that size. And
I mean, we are technically wrong saying fonts. They are typefaces.
Well,
everybody says fonts, so fuck it.
I mean, I think the best use of Comic Sans is in church village hall meetings.
Yes, that's perfect. Yes. And posters for village fates and stuff. That's got to be Comic Sans.
It's got a sort
I mean, I'm told
cutesy, provincial, parochial thing going on.
Yeah. I'm told that Comic Sans is for some people with dyslexia can be somewhat.
Oh yeah. Well, that's because it's unlike something like Papyrus, which also gets misused a lot, which is just a stylistic font. Comic Sans is actually a very well designed font. It's a very, you know, within the constraints that they were, you know, the purpose of it. It's got the right amount of, because you want with fonts to make them readable, you want a bit of irregularity so that the letters sort of stand out and are distinct, and it does that well and it flows nicely. It's a well designed font.
Yeah. But it is iconic, and that sometimes
Like Helvetica. Like Helvetica is a very nicely designed font, but because it's used by design twats everywhere, it's fucking insufferable.
Yeah,
I weirdly enough, I really enjoyed Open Sans, which is a Google font.
I think that's one of those aerially kind of intentionally boring fonts.
Yeah. It's not designed to. Yeah.
Like Arial was always. I never liked Arial. It was never.
Arial's very boring.
It should have been something. They were obviously trying to get something without stepping on the toes of the other sans serif fonts, but. anyway.
Very dull. Yeah. Anyway, fonts, enough. What?
What?
Okay, so.
So we're starting a new series of. The Expanse, people.
Well, I'll tell you what, this actually felt like an episode of The Expanse this time.
Yes.
Definitely did. And it was, there was lots and lots of different characters and stuff. It wasn't just, you know, spending ages in one place.
It's been a while since I've been this deep into the show, and I was a little bit, watching season four, I was a little bit worried that maybe season five isn't as good as I remembered it to be. And then watched episode one, fucking love. It's exactly what you said. It's like, this is The Expanse again.
Yeah.
And I ended up watching the first five episodes all in one sitting.
I deliberately didn't, because I just wanted to keep it for the show.
Spoilers, but they're fucking great.
I already miss Ashford.
Yes.
He's a character that we could have kept going, but
yeah, did they have to kill him off? Did he just?
It's such a good death though, and it fits him so well.
It was a good death scene.
Oh no, I want it for entirely superficial reasons.
Not story. Just missing. Liked him.
Okay, so the opening scene where the asteroid gets burnt up in
Rock Number 9. Targeted 21 megatons, 173 days after launch. Sorry, I just wrote that down as it was.
I have questions about that as well.
Sorry, Chris, you say your thing first. You might say
this was a bit more like superficial as well. It felt very CGI.
I didn't feel that. I mean,
not that was a bad thing.
Yeah. I can see what you mean, but I didn't.
And good
didn't...
CGI.
To be honest, Chris, I hate to tell you this once again, but they did not go out into near solar orbit and film an asteroid.
Well, why not? This is the problem. This is the problem with modern
budgetary requirements.
Woke has ruined television. Just because of health and safety, you can't film right next to the fucking sun.
To be fair, it's not like Amazon doesn't. Like, doesn't Jeff Bezos have a space company?
He does, yeah. To
probably,
be fair,
yeah. They all do that. They've all got to outdo each other, haven't they?
Could be done. Just saying.
go the extra mile, Jeff. Come on, film these things in space. Even if the show's not set in space, just film them in space.
Film them in space for shits and giggles. Yeah.
I want to see a zero gravity sitcom.
That would be great. That would be really good.
So it's set on Earth, it's based on Earth, everything about it is Earth, except it's zero gravity and they never mention it.
They just never address it at all. If anybody in the production's ever asked about it, they go, what?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, sorry. I wonder how long they could hold on to that before everybody just burst. So Rock Number 9 went too close to the sun. And I wonder, was it the wrong trajectory, like a mistake when they were launching it? Did they realise it was quite, you know, it was wrong? Because there's a couple of reasons for the questioning. Or was it some sort of test? No, not a test of the equipment or the plan, but a test of Philip. Because they were there really, really quickly.
Okay, so my brain, same circumstance, my brain went in a different path. So, yeah, this one went too close to the sun. explodes into lots of little asteroids, but then it destroys that thing that they wanted to destroy. So I'm like, was that the intention?
No. Oh no, that wasn't the target. That was just a science ship.
But that was.
Now you've got me wondering though.
That science ship. Yeah, this is there's some bits here I don't entirely understand.
But that's because.
But it was detecting those asteroid bits. So if the asteroid had still been in one piece, it presumably. Oh, I guess it was stealth though.
Do they go and
take that ship's data cubes or whatever because the asteroid had broken up and it was going to spot the broken up?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So I wonder if it was a deliberate. But I wonder if it was a deliberate trajectory they sent it on to test other ways that the Earth could maybe detect things, like when they tried to go after the spotter station in the previous series. Or was it a test of Philip to test his abilities and loyalty and how far he would go?
That's part of the problem there, and this is going back to pissing on season 4. We don't know. Because, I mean, maybe Philip doesn't need testing in that way. Maybe he's been on multiple missions and he's already proven himself.
We just don't fucking know.
I guessed as much. Like when he said, "This is my son," I didn't assume he just picked him up recently. I assumed he was always in the picture.
I'm not sure the testing him thing. I it's a valid question, but I don't think it quite.
Because
adds
up. I mean, obviously, Philip's ship was on the scene really quick. But then again, they could have a ship fall on every rock, and it just happened. Yeah, and also, for narrative reasons, they made this one the one that Philip's ship was, after.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, the thing is, Philip comes across as far too confident and competent in this moment, and like
to have been on his first mission or whatever.
I always feel like it would be a bit like, oh, if he was being tested, he would sweat a little, you know.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't seem to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't actually kill anybody by himself, though. I noticed.
Did he not shoot anybody?
He never shot enough because he was taking the data core away.
I get that's probably they're trying to keep him somewhat pure so that we can have some sympathy for him and therefore sympathize with
for his mum. Yeah.
Well,
what I've written down is Philip and Aros, after two different attempts to remember how to spell his name. And then a ruthless wee shite. So that's what I've got there.
Yeah.
So that crew. So yeah, for anybody that's wants extra spoilers, if you've not seen the episode, they board that science vessel, the UNS Hasami, take the data evidence of what's happened there, and kill the crew. And I don't think they were intending to hit that ship. I think what happened was the debris field was there, and they moved the ship into it to get rid of it.
Oh, I see.
Because remember, they had a timer on it on their wrist. They were watching a timer.
The reason they wanted to get rid of that ship is because it could see the asteroid fragments. That makes sense.
The stealth stuff broke down a bit because the asteroid broke up. Because they were saying that it was coming and going, and some of it you could see and some they couldn't. They thought it was a sensor problem, you know.
Yeah.
So the idea is, in order to keep the stealth technology that they have under wraps.
Well, not the stealth technology, but the actual mission of sending all these rocks. Yeah, firing the rocks.
Okay, they're covering their asses. Oh, also, when it opens up into, I just spotted this now, opened up, we see Luna as part of the opening. That's it. So obviously Avicerella, she's got a job on Luna.
Yeah, that's down there somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Do you want to go?
We don't have to go in order. I'm aware that irks you guys a bit. So I was just going to say, yeah, I've got a bit for that if you want to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, Luna was, well, the thing is, Luna was always there, but it was never as prominent. the titles change every series. To slightly show other things, you know, and because there's one thing, if you ever look at series, I think it's series 3 onwards, whenever it was they destroyed Phobos, if you look at the starter now, you remember Amos did the joking adaptation of the flag, it is like that, and there's little fragments instead of the moon being there anymore, on the little open thing, yeah.
So they did the thing that Amos did, but in the show.
Yeah, basically, yeah, yeah.
I do like the chatter with Amos and Avicerella. That's kind of...
Yeah, I've got
that. That was fucking great. I love that so much. Right. Actually, before that, while we're on Amos, You know, when he's on the transport to get to the moon. Mm. and there's a series of lines I like. Wait, there's those tough dudes trying to shake everybody down.
Yeah.
Mm. And then somebody, I can't remember who says it, but somebody says to Amos, what crew do you run with? And he says the Rocinante. Mm-hmm. And they said, I've never heard of him. And Amos says, You probably have. I'm out of context here. Which made me laugh. I enjoyed that line.
I liked as well, I mean, there's a little clue. We obviously, he talks about it more openly later in the episode, but Amos, because he asked those two guys, like, do you snow? And he's like, no, don't think. And the other one kid asked the other, I don't do it. He goes, no.
There's
the old lady who takes, like, was it drugs or something? She took
sleeping pills, I think, said.
And then she's like, she starts snoring a bit. But
But
obviously Amos sort of looked at her for a little bit longer, and it's like, oh, she obviously reminded him of someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of foreshadowing to later in the episode.
Okay. Because to me, I just saw that as being like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah,
I'm in for it now.
Yeah, he's not going to beat up an old lady, is he?
And then Amos does some, again, we'll learn why he's feeling that way, but Amos does some cathartic violence. Some violence that actually makes sense, unlike the bit at the end of...
Yes, exactly. Amos hates bullies. It's pure and simple thing just to help that part come.
Well, he's got a reason for feeling a bit like he wants to get things out of his system as well, but I'm being teleological.
You're being teleological, young man. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I'm pointing at you. Do you want me to put it in front of the camera?
you want me to do one, a Chris theory?
Well, one
yes,
more
please.
Thing. Can I make one more little observation from when we first see Amos? He's got a backpack, a bag, and it's Murtry's bag, but he's written over it in red paint or something, like Amos over Murtry's name. So you obviously took Murtry's backpack, you know. Right, you have a Chris theory on Amos, yeah?
Well, it's less of a theory, but I did notice that in the opening, like, what do you call it, last week on type of opening prologue stuff.
Oh, yeah, previously on The Expanse.
That's it. Amos was talking with the reporter lady about...
I can still hear boss. Voices, by the way. I can definitely hear yours as well.
Do you want me to rejoin? See if that.
Yeah, do a rejoin.
Yeah,
I'll have to rejoin.
You'll have to rejoin as well. Yeah. So give me a sec. Actually, I'll just reload.
There we go. Right.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. We've got a bit of breathing, but I'll let you breathe. That's okay.
No, I hate the breathing. I need to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's right. The breathing is character.
I wish it would. I wish it would fucking cut the breathing out.
Well, we love you for breathing. It's your signature breathing.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it.
It's your signature move.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I can't hear it now.
Cool.
Oh, no, sorted. I can hear myself still, but I can't hear Chris.
God damn it.
You can't hear me?
Mm. Oh.
But I didn't hear you echoing at first either. It was only when you did a longer bit of chat and I realised
you can't hear Chris.
It.
You just can't hear Chris echoing.
No, I could hear Chris echoing. Your Wi-Fi name or password has changed.
To update your Wi-Fi information, shut up.
Go to the Alexa app. What is that?
I use a disconnected from the internet Alexa as a speaker, and every now and then she lets me know she's disconnected from the internet.
Oh, that's very good of her.
Yep.
Okay. But are you on headphones, so we can't say, Alexa, what's the time?
I'm on headphones, yeah. Also, she won't answer that when she's not connected to the internet. She doesn't do anything.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris, I hijacked everything there. Yes. Previously on,
the mob boss, Amos Jones, or whatever Amos's surname is.
You blanked me on it now.
Yeah, no, it did. They did say in the episode what his surname was.
Amos
Burton.
It's really like Burton. A normal... Burton, there
no,
you go.
No, Burton.
Like, it was like a really like, normal name.
Sorry. Carry on with your...
Burton is in Staffordshire.
Yes.
Home place where it was invented of the Marmites.
We had a Burton's in...
Oh, is that because of the brewery, though, isn't it?
It's a brewing place, yeah.
Yeah, Burton's... Burton-on-Trent, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Lovely little town.
Yeah. I use a bit of Marmite sometimes just to add a bit of zing to things like bolognese and, and sauces. Yeah. You know, just a bit of.
I thought we were going to get a sexual story there for a second. I was worried.
Not with Marmite. God.
As a lubricant.
I'm not an absolute degenerate salty lubricant.
Yeah, no. Canned stews, not the best in the world, but a teaspoon of Marmite makes them lovely and meaty.
Very good.
Yeah, just adds a bit of like umami, saltiness.
This is not a cooking podcast. Right, so yeah, so do you have Amos Burton?
Okay, so Amos is going to Earth because probably I would guess the Occam's razor, not to be confused with Arkham's razor, which is something to do with Batman, I believe.
Also not to be confused with Victor Kayam's razors.
Mm, no. He loved them so much, he
bought the fucking company. Yeah, respect that.
I accidentally said Arkham's razor to Rosie, and she was like, fucking
Adam. And also not to be confused with the H.P. Lovecraft stuff. You know.
It's not racist, that's how you can tell.
Oh, that's some juxtaposition.
I see you've got your Game of Thrones cup. Mm. Stark cup.
How Stark this week? I've got Stark and I've got Lannister.
All right.
How Stark, famous motto, let there be winter.
Winter is on its way, lads.
Motto, fuck me, I think it's starting to snow.
it's a bit nippy out.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't be that bright a house because their motto is literally only correct, like, half.
It's always correct.
Yeah, it's always correct. Yeah.
Well, not in spring.
No, it's still correct. Winter is always coming.
And of course, you're being a bit silly now because we all know it doesn't refer to actual winter.
They're all dead, so you know. Spoilers.
Most of them.
Well,
you never know.
The name is dead.
What, winter?
The house is dead. Stark.
Right, before I was going to go off on a tangent that I don't want to go off on there. So let's
Okay, it's taken about 15 minutes, and we still don't know Chris's theory.
Okay. Well, it's not much of a theory. I'm sorry. This is going to be quite the feeble dribble of cum at the end of disappointing sex. But
what's your Arkham's razor?
It's that he is going to find that woman that he was looking up, like, I don't know, three series ago. His he was in the ship. I think it was like season 3, maybe. He was looking something up on the terminal. Alex came in, he just swiped it away.
He was,
had
someone's
name on it.
Yeah. That's his. This is not explicit in the show, but he's mentioned a woman who took care of him when he was a kid a few times, and then it was strongly implied that's that woman. Yeah.
This was implied here. Yeah.
So my gut tells me that he's going to touch base with her, but this might also fold into some organized crime stuff because he does have the name of a mobster that he.
Yeah, but he left that place when he was a child.
He was
7, I think they said, when he left.
Isn't that young?
Yeah, he mentions it openly in one of the episodes. Hmm. When somebody questions, I think it's. It might be when Monica questions him, I'm not sure.
Right.
But he says, well, that obviously can't be me because I left it when I was 7.
That could be a lie.
Could be
a lie. Could have gone back. Could have gone back. Yeah. He could have changed his identity at 7.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll find out.
Okay, so I guess we've whittled down the Chris theory to he's got business on Earth.
And I wonder what... Oh, yeah, he's heading to Earth. Well, he does say, I mean, he openly says... When he meets Avisarala, he openly says that a friend has died.
Ah.
And he's going to finish up and look after affairs.
Oh, and it's like you're not much more of a real estate type or whatever.
Yeah, no. And Avisarala says you don't seem like much like the type to, you know, settle estates.
The estate trustee type.
Yeah, that's it, estate trustee type, yeah.
I do love his flirting with Avisarala and how plainly Avisarala... I don't think he's her type. but she's like a little bit tempted because she's like, you know, young strapping gentleman could probably indeed. Give me a right good seeing to. That could be quite enjoyable.
Especially after that damp blanket of a husband being like, oh, don't want to go to the moon.
I'm going back to university to do my lecture. You're not fans then?
No.
I like the old one.
The old one was, he was nice.
Yeah, it was almost like a different character as well as a different actor.
Really is. Yeah.
No, this new one was, he was just a bit like, he was like liberal arts professor all over him, he did. Like,
That's what he kind of was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're married to a woman who's been the second in command of CEO of Earth for presumably like quite long, like
third.
And then president of Earth for a while. Like, she's a fucking politician. She's ruthless. You know she's ruthless. And then during the campaign, you're like, oh, you're campaigning a bit dirty. I don't like that. Yeah. Like, what the fuck do you think?
We are going to keep shitting on Series 4, aren't we?
Yes.
Her husband cost her the election.
Yeah.
Gow's the time.
So, Amos and Chris. Well, also, that's the first time Amos and Avastrel have met in person.
No.
No,
he taught her to walk.
Oh no, he's on the ship. What am I talking about?
What are you talking about? If you go back to season one and start again.
No, I'm an idiot. But they meet in person again. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having a bad day.
There's nothing to apologize for.
I know. I was being slightly sarcastic there. But
everyone, give hugs. I was embarrassed in the address
for making it. We
love you, Hamish.
Again, that's what I should have said. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking there. But also...
That's a reference to last week's thumbnail,
Also, joking about your... Well, actually, there's a joke that Amos makes saying, aren't you Queen of Earth or something?
Which is very similar to... Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And it's kind of like the kind of things, the jokes we make, you know, Queen of Earth, CEO of Earth, whatever.
What is the title of the top person of Earth?
President, I think.
Yeah, I think so. No, Secretary General.
Secretary General, yeah, because they refer to a parliament, don't they? Because somebody in this episode is explicit, really refer, it might be a future episode, but explicitly refers to a parliament. So they have a parliament, not a Senate, which is interesting. Mm. So presumably a prime minister. But also, yeah, I liked... like when he calls her the Queen of Earth and she says to him, like, you don't keep up with current events, do you?
No, and he says, not all the ones that only ones I can change. I can have some make a difference with. Yeah, not ones I can't make any difference to. So I've just written a wee note of my own. It made me giggle slightly as well. Now Avasaral is the Queen of Luna. So that's the thing, is because I was wondering what her job was going to be. We were all talking about that last time, really. And of course, she's been given this job of steward or whatever the word was she used, of Luna, basically to take the piss out of her.
Because
I thought, well, what else is she going to do if she doesn't stay in that sort of job anyway? If she doesn't stay in the sort of political arena.
Well, the beef, so she's been given this job to sideline her, basically. Humiliate and sideline her with the idea, probably with the expectation that she wouldn't take it and she'd just, you know, get out of politics, which is kind of what her husband was saying. Like, why are you letting her? Not these words, but why are you letting her humiliate you this? Just you're done. Like, realize that you're done. Everybody else realizes you're done. Go home. Yeah. And she's like, she's not. Like, what I like about it, a dumber show would have just made her unaware of that, but she's aware of that. Mm. But and she's also self-aware enough to realize she likes playing the game.
She plays the game. She wants to play the game. And also, right in the middle of that one. See, this is why I often interrupt. It's not because I'm rude, well, I am, but it's not intentional to be rude. It's not to try and derail somebody else. It's trying before I forget something.
No, I'm same for me. Yeah,
but you were going to, oh, what was it you said?
It means we're always interrupting Chris because he's the young one with a functional memory.
Yeah. Well, no, when I interrupt you, I do it just to be rude.
Oh, fair enough. But there's a thing that's, oh God, yeah, the Queen of Oh no, yeah, that's it. That's what I was going to say. But Amos does say to him, if you don't like it, why don't you just quit? But then they get interrupted before that conversation gets to go anywhere by that general guy. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a high-paying, relatively easy job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just... Yeah. Like, what is it they called it? It was like something that made it sound very... It was a lame title.
Oh my god, the breathing, Drew. I'm going deaf.
I'm so far away from a fucking fucking Jitsi. Can't fucking this doesn't happen on fucking Discord. Fuck this shit. I've got proprietary software only from now on. I'm going over to Skype. I'll see you there.
Have you tried an open source nose? Maybe it might be more compatible.
I mean, blowing my nose would probably help, but. Okay. How about
it sounds like it's part of your just anatomy, you know?
I mean, I can't hear it. It's not like it's whistling here. Do you know what I mean? I can't hear anything.
I'm joking. It's nice.
No,
it's
hate nice it. I absolutely hate it. I've got extra noise suppression on as well. Fucking suppress better, you piece of shit.
I never use software stuff to, because that's the problem. Then you go from one platform to another and it fucks up. That's why I do everything in my own sound chain. And then the computer just gets one sound, source. Even though some programs try to change it, I know what it is. It's because if you look at most programs that are expecting desktop sound, especially ones where they don't give a shit about the Linux version very much, i.e. Discord or e.g. Discord, then what's wrong with it is it only gives you the sound card. It doesn't give you the channel option. So, and obviously I've got an 18-channel sound card effectively because it's the digital mixer. And it always tries to choose channel 0 and 1. And that's why you guys get the echo, because I play back my stuff on channel 0 and 1. My microphones are on channels 2 and 3. And that's where it all starts.
That makes sense.
But if I don't do that, then other things start to pick up the microphones where they shouldn't as well. It's anything that isn't on the same stereo channel... Programs just don't like it because they're lazy programming, basically.
To cater to the lazy programs, is it at all? I'm assuming it's not, but is it at all worth having your microphones on channel 0 and 1?
No, that's what I'm saying. If I do that, the problem is then channel 0 and 1 by default, like media players, I can set up, but by default, the browser notifications and stuff start coming through 0 and 1. So something's always getting onto 0 and 1 because they only try to use 0 and 1. That's the problem.
Right.
You've just got to choose. You know, you've just got to choose which one you want.
Literally choose your battles, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's easier to change. It's easier to disconnect the occasional thing that doesn't respect my settings than it is to change my settings and I'd basically be doing it from the input side instead of the output side. You know, you'd start hearing things, other things. It's just lazy programming, that's all it is.
Yeah. How physically big is your sound setup? I think I had a little desk at one point, but it still was quite a lot to have on the surface of your desk.
Right, okay.
Oh, you've done this before.
I've done this before, but I'll do it again for you from a wider angle, as it were. So,
please do.
Right, this monitor here that you're looking at with you guys on, hey, that's a 28-inch 16:9 monitor, right? There's the top of the desk.
Yeah.
And there's the bottom of the desk, which is even wider. But the physical surface of my desk is really big. The actual equipment, well, that's the mixer. Well, that's the physical controller. Again, though, this is not part of the mixer. This can control anything. This can control software, MIDI equipment, anything I want. It's a dumb controller. The actual mixer, if the light will come through, is just a 3 unit 19-inch rack mount. That's it there. I've got cables dangling off it, and I've got like my USB thing, like velcroed onto the side and stuff. But there's the actual mixer. So all those little numbered things are inputs and outputs. Main output there, you can see with the blue cables. That goes to my speaker system. There's a headphone output with an individual control, and then there's all the inputs there. All along the top, you can see a few of them have got microphone physically in them and stuff. A lot of it's still just the way it works is that you can mix and match physical and internal. So I can tell what I do is I can tell the USB channels for the sound card which ones to go to and which ones to use and all that sort of thing. And I can tell which ones are hardware you know, I can tell it to switch it onto hardware or USB.
Mm.
So as far as the computer's concerned, it's just a sound card. It just happens to have 18 sound channels.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Sorry, rude interruption. How am I near the flag? I noticed that I'm leaning down a bit.
No, you're not.
Am I too near my flag?
Your hair's touching it. Your hair's gone under it a bit. Your microphone's cut off slightly.
Okay, so it's about where my microphone is. Okay.
Yeah, it's about where your microphone is, yeah.
Okay, excellent.
All I've heard while we've been talking is whistly really? Breathing. Yeah, because you're moving around. It's like you're making a... exerting yourself.
I'm so far from my fucking microphone.
It's not about distance, though. It's about direction and how good your microphone is. I mean, it means your microphone's actually...
This is driving me fucking nuts.
But it actually means your microphone's quite good, which I challenge anybody that a USB plugged in microphone can ever be good. I don't care what the physical microphone is, if you then USB it directly. I know technically mine goes through the mixer and becomes a USB thing, but plugging straight in for USB is giving sound systems too much arbitrary control over things. I don't like it. Anyway.
It's a bit meaningless to me.
Well, like I say, if you're plugging it in as an audio device, it's more flexible, because if you want to take it and use it for, like, if I wanted to take my microphone, say, to a gig or something, I could do that. It's, you know, I can plug it into somebody's PA system or whatever. It, obviously, if it's USB, it needs a computer and only a computer. And there's an additional sound processor in there from converting from audio to USB. So it's only as good as that little sound processor. So it doesn't matter how good the mic is. I've seen companies that make really good mics put a USB sound processor in, which can't possibly match up to the quality of the mic, and it's just insane to me that we've now got a version that you can just plug in and play, you know. So people are paying, it's like people paying for gold cables or gold plated cables for digital audio, you know, digital stuff. It's like, they get a good signal, you don't. That's it. The digital doesn't, you know, the actual, there's no analog signal there, so it doesn't make a difference how good the conductor is. It's either on or off. It's
digital do or digital don't. There's no digital.
Anyway, I'm probably going to get angry audiophiles going, but my ex-brother-in-law used to annoy me. Two reasons, actually. I'll give you two. I mean, I don't see him anymore, but he's a great guy. He was one of my best mates for when I was still married. But there's two things that always annoy me. One is, and this is sort of goes back to something that we were talking about the last few days, Drew. His idea of what was a good film or was always 100% aligned with Empire magazine. You know,
met those people.
If Empire magazine said it was a good film, it was a good film. He just didn't really think about himself, you know. But he seemed, you know, but he would think of himself as a film buff. But and also on that same note, he wouldn't watch anything in black and white.
Oh,
so anything that was past a certain age or was stylistically chosen to be black and white.
Empire would fucking love Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I know. So. Why? It was an odd thing. But the other thing is, he would always buy really fucking expensive cables for no good reason. You know, and it's like, anyway, I'm not going to get into it, because that's it, really.
Carry On Sergeant's a good film. That's black and white.
Yeah, great film.
I legitimately like that, because we were going to do Carry On Screaming, and we watched that, and it was basically a bit shit, really.
It's not as good as you
but,
remember.
But Carry On Sergeant. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's anything it's not. Like, it's just a wholesome kind of feel-good movie that's just funny and camp. But
it was more kind of old-school British movie than what the Carry On films became.
Yeah.
I still say that there's a couple of ones that stick out as being good. Carry On Up the Khyber is still a pretty good one, because it's... Although they're not very subversive, other than the cheekiness, the seaside cheekiness of those films. Seaside cheekiness. Other than that, they're not really subversive films, but this one did have a bit of a taking the piss out of the
I did rewatch the camping one recently as well. Camping's decent. Carry on camping.
Again, it's just completely silly.
And most of
the earlier doctor nurse hospital ones were again because the NHS was new, and that's where you see where the politics came into it. Talbot Roswell or whatever his name is, it was all that. Oh, this is a terrible thing. This NHS always, and it's the same with the carrier at your convenience, where
the anti-union.
They make out unions to be lazy, you know, wasters, and you know. Yeah. So that was the politics shown very, very clearly there. Okay, sorry. So we know that he's going back to deal with, well, in some way or another, he's going back to deal with her estate in some way. I think Avisar Allah knows that means he's going to probably go and settle some scores or something rather than anything else. And I like that her parting thing before she sends him on his way and that general guy comes in to give his report. She says, like, I'm not bailing you out if you get arrested. That's what she says to him. That was the last thing that she said to him. It was quite good, yeah. Right. Could I pick something?
Go for it.
Two new characters on Tycho.
Ah, yes.
Tycho Station. We've got Sakai, the new chief engineer, who's...
So he's the twat one?
No. No, the chief engineer. The girl with the sort of thingy
here. I find her very attractive.
She is kind of cute, and in a sort of
she's far too young for me, but very attractive.
I think she's older than she seems
For sure. But even taking that into account,
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, it's like I shouldn't. Right, this is lechy old man time here again. But what do you call him now? Sid James time. I was in a pub today, getting a drink a soft drink with Alan, and there was a girl who was doing like one of it was like a pub that served food. It was a Wetherspoons. I have to admit, I went into a Wetherspoons.
Good vegan options there, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, but there was a girl serving there, and she was very young again, so she's probably about 18 to 20. So I did feel bad instantly, but she had. She had really nice legs and a really nice bum and like a mini skirt and tights, dark tights and everything. And it was like, you dirty old man. Anyway, so that was my dirty old man moment for the day, was having a wee bit of a look. So two new better characters, yeah. So Sakai is the chief engineer of Tycho now, because that was previously... Mm-hmm. Who was previously chief? Wasn't there somebody in between...
I don't think we ever saw Drummer was like ops or something. I don't think we ever really saw an engineer particularly.
Yeah, so apart from Naomi, we didn't know who the chief engineer was before then.
No.
Okay, so she could have been the chief engineer for ages, for all we know. And the other one is a guy called Bull. That's his nickname anyway. He's the chief of ops. He replaces Drummer effectively.
Not a belt.
Oh, he's really.
He's not a
belt.
He's a former UN Marine, and he knows Fred. Sorry, that's slightly outside knowledge because it's in the book rather than the. I don't think it's.
Well, I'm looking at him now.
No, they have that conversation.
Do they? All right, that's okay. I've not missed anything there. Though. Yeah, but
sorry, Chris. He looks like
he looks like he doesn't have any tattoos or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
he's an Earther right away. He's very. I mean, he's obviously racist against the belters as well. You know.
And also, he's like, he has the Earther accent, right? Like, I don't know if this is deliberate. I kind of think that it probably is. But when Naomi's talking with belters, the belter accent becomes stronger when she's talking about
Snapchat. It's code shifting, isn't it? I think they're explicitly shown code shifting and what, you know, people from minorities have to do to fit in. They have to change the way they talk, the way they
Which is what Naomi has to do,
So
we've met them. Yeah, just what do you think of them? But obviously we've got that. Drew finds her attractive, and Chris.
Well, more than that, like I find her attractive. Partly like I like the way she looks, but also I like her spunk. I like her attitude. All the way through, I enjoy her.
She seems enthusiastic about the job and friendly with the old mate. You know, she's not like, there's no sort of. Rivalry with Naomi or you did this wrong or any, you know, there's none of that kind of thing. It's just like genuine, because they talk about why the station's having so much trouble, and it's what we did mention it briefly in the last series early on, that they've retrofitted it with huge weapon systems that the ship's structure just isn't made for, you know. It's not meant to be a weapon ship, but there you go.
And also, we do notice, and I don't think I remember this from previous Tycho visits, there was a guy walking on the... There were people on the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, they were. They weren't obeying the convention of...
Is that a rule? Like, where it's like, you've got to walk on the same...
No, well, I mean, essentially, you've got two floors, you might as well make use of them.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you've got the
I think it was probably just a budget thing that they didn't do it right regularly before.
Yeah. Mm.
I think it was just a little...
Is this actually the first Amazon season?
No, second one.
This is the first, on the versions I've got, this is the first version, the first season that's opened with the Amazon logo.
No, the versions I've got open with it.
Series
4, sorry. Yeah, series 1, 2, and 3 were sci-fi, and that was what they actually booked in the first place.
Because this season feels so different from 4. 4 feels different from all the other seasons.
Yeah. No, distinct. 4, 5, and 6 are all Amazon.
Okay, okay.
Because they released series 4 all at once on Amazon. Mm, it was all episodes on my birthday.
So they got that wrong as well.
No, I like that. I know we
no, this, we? I like that. No, I'll tell you what, right? And I know exactly the people.
I like
who
to
are
be able to see the whole thing. I like to be able to see
it. It's binge. Like watching Severance season 2 get released week by week, the tension and the suspense between each week is incredibly like. Intense. Yeah. Like it's like it's so much more rewarding to watch it week by week. If they dropped it all at once, I would have enjoyed it, but I would have just been over it in a few days. You know,
so only if you're the kind of person that does the sort of water cooler chat type thing. If you've got
I
a
love
job,
the water cooler chat.
Yeah,
that's
but
why
exactly.
I do.
But, yeah, but you've got. A life.
Is, I mean,
we're having water cooler chat right now.
No, but this is literally the water
that's
cooler
what we're
chat.
Doing.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. That's the irony. I was aware of what I was saying. I wasn't saying it in an unaware way.
But just... no, I. What you're saying is clearly true, Chris. But and that is of value. But for me, it's of more value to just let me fuck. I want to watch the next one. Let me watch the next one.
Yeah, like I'm like
I just want to watch them all in one go.
I'm not good at. I quite often wait for a whole series to finish before I'll sit and watch any of it. Even if I watch a couple of episodes, and I really like this. I'll sometimes go, oh, fuck it, but I don't want to wait.
It's like if I've got two 12 pack of crisps. And somebody's like, you can have two packets a day. I'm like, no, fuck off. I'm eating those 12 right now.
Oh, dear.
No, like, I mean, I've got to. If you make it too easy for me, I.
I think they both have.
Is this a lack of self-control you're talking about here? You feel it difficult not to binge. Is that what you're saying?
Some depends on the thing, right?
Because you could, obviously, if the thing is dropped all in one go, you could choose to watch it once a week, but then it's a shared experience thing is what you're talking about.
Exactly,
right?
the shared experience.
I suppose that's why it's nice that we've gone back to something that's a little bit older already. I think our format would be difficult to maintain on something that was regular, because we would then have to be regular, which doesn't suit our... timings for all three of us.
And also, I think it would be too slow for. We want to watch the next episode again. I think what you're saying is right. I think there's value to that, but I think there's also value to being able to just binge it. And it's just which one of those you value more. And personally, I see the value.
I think it changes for me from series to series as well. Yeah, there are some things.
It depends on the series.
It.
Yeah. I do want to at some point do this, but on a weekly show as it's coming out.
It would be interesting,
out.
Yeah.
It would be
yeah.
good, see, but I think it's going to be very difficult to maintain that for
well, the thing is, the thing is,
schedules,
right,
basically.
We've also got, so we've got this going on. We've also got other ideas that we want to do, and we kind of can't because we always do this. So if we had something that was weekly, and then we had the other days to like do the other stuff, that might actually be kind of cool.
I mean, we are all interesting time managers, aren't we? That's one way to put it. Oh my God! I tell you what, right? I was looking for jobs in corporate places, and I haven't really worked much in the corporate world, but some of the fucking language they use, it makes me want to jump off a bridge. It's like, you know what? I'm just gonna work in a Costa Coffee. I don't want gonna serve people drinks or something. I can't life cycle development market, you know, like
it's not worth it. It's not worth going through that because it's every day at work having to deal with that language, and you'll either go mad or you
fall into it yourself. Yeah. It's even worse.
It's not worth it. Just get a job in a greengrocer's or something.
Do the best you can with that. Don't just get a job in a coffee shop. Get a job as the manager of the coffee shop. I can see you as the manager of a bohemian coffee shop.
I'm not telling people what to do. I'd be a bus driver. I'd like to be a bus driver. That'd be kind of cool.
Do you like
driving a bus? That's so fucking cool.
I've just realised you've got a bit of... I hope you take this.
Oh, Otto. This is interesting. Hang on,
Otto.
I've got a popcorn.
Otto, yeah. Like older Otto.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just got... Yeah, just took me a second there. But yeah.
Oh, I could take up smoking weed again.
Not when you're driving a bus, mate.
No, well...
You might get in a wee bit of trouble there.
Yeah.
From my experience, which is all imaginary, of being stoned and driving and being with friends who were stoned while driving, just makes them drive much slower.
I don't know how much I should comment on this, to be honest, but if you're driving a route that you know and and it's maybe not super busy, or if it's so busy the traffic's a crawl, then and you know to take an extra beat when you're making decisions, like joining a roundabout or something, you're probably fine. It's nowhere near as bad
this is one problem with it. This was a dream I had once. This didn't actually happen. I'm in the dream. I got so drunk that I got so stoned that I forgot I was drunk, and needed cigarettes and drove to the petrol station and crashed into the petrol station. In the dream.
Well, I had a dream in prison and I did pretty well in prison.
What do you mean you did pretty well?
He had an active sex life. He was, you know.
I wasn't getting shanked in the showers every day or anything like it was like it was a bit like Porridge. Do you remember Porridge with Ronnie Barker?
Yes, indeed.
Like you know, it's like a modern version of that. And I was like, you know what?
I think I'd be all right in a low security, a prison where you're not just going to get the shit. I mean, I assume prisons aren't all that because why would they be? You know, a low security prison. You're not going to just get shit kicked out of you all the time. You read books and chat with people and have a meal. That's fine.
I suspect most people in a prison are just trying to get by day to day anyway. You know? Right. Silly thing, but I was going to mention something about The Expanse again. Holden, the first time we see Holden in the episode.
We've got another Holden shirtless moment. And it's like, look, I spent many, many months in the gym. We're going to get my money's worth. And he does another one. He does another one where he just walks across the room as you like it. Very obvious. I'm getting it up and I'm getting it out.
Full screen glory, Chris.
Stand back and stand by. This is some fully loaded Holden. what have we got here? Add background. Okay.
Like, he just walks across the room.
Yeah.
It's like...
And always just the pants a little bit too low, so you can see that V.
The V.
Don't mind me just drinking my coffee.
This is just how I drink coffee. Have you got a problem with it?
He could spill a little down his chest. Going to commit to it. But it's just like...
Oh, dearie me.
That Diet Coke break.
Anyway, the first time we see Holden, he's just kind of kicking about his cabin, listening, and he wants to hear the news reports. Now, the only thing I'm going to say, obviously there's stuff about Nancy Gow and they're being successful and everything. You might want to talk about that. But the thing I noticed was the first person that came onto that news report feed that he was getting had a Scottish accent. And I wondered if that's the first Scottish accent we've ever heard on the show.
I think could well be, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing one before. And I've got another thing about accents later in this as well. It's not actually directly from the show, but it's something that I remembered from the books and looked it up and got the details right this time. So
we also mentioned while we're on Tycho, Fred's got a new office.
Has he?
Yeah, it's a new office. He's got his previous office was that one with the glass where he's looking out onto the. Now he's got that office that's like beige with the display of helmets.
Because when they were building the what it was called previously. what was it called previously before it was called?
Oh, the Naboo.
Naboo, thank you. When they were building it as the Naboo, yeah, he had like a foreman's office rather than a manager's office sort of thing. So he's got
I do like that display of helmet. I don't know whether that, maybe that's his helmets over the years or something. I don't know, but it's a cool little display.
Yeah,
I mean, that looks like, well, conference table or a dining room table. I don't know. Is that not his? Could that be his? No, it's not his house or his. It might be his home. It might be his quarters
rather than his office.
Yeah, perhaps.
Because that is quite a fair number of plants for an office. It might be because Tycho's so small that your office and your quarters are often the same thing, like ships and stuff. Maybe,
Anyway, so I just thought it was interesting that I think that's the first Scottish accent we've heard on the show, deliberately Scottish accent. I mean, I'm sure we might have heard people.
Are we okay with them letting Scottish people on the show?
Or on
space. We know what they're like.
I don't think anybody Scottish has been in space.
Like, fuck for that.
Yeah, you don't want us getting it too far.
Yeah, big ideas.
Yeah, Murtry's bag was the note I've got about the Amos part. Right, the next Holden bit, though, is Holden's in a bar. Who should come up? But Monica! Monica's back!
Yay.
No, I like Monica for various reasons.
I love that she goes, "We're not on the record," immediately starts recording. That is so perfect.
And also, Holden's like, "Yeah, sure." Anyway, then she's got this protomolecule story, which is interesting, that people are doing experiments for the protomolecule. And he kind of poker faces it quite well, I think.
He does.
He obviously doesn't know anything about it directly, but he's got. No. He obviously has an inkling because he then goes fucking mental at Fred. So when we were talking about this at the end of the last series, where is the protomolecule left now? Because obviously it is
in Fred's possession, right?
Is that the only one that's left then? That we know
teleologically,
of.
Yes.
Yeah, that we know of the show anyway. Yeah, because
since I've watched it, they do say. I'm only saying this because it's relevant and it's not a spoiler. They do because it's implied. It is, yes, this is the last, as far as we know, this is the last sample.
Then again, in my mind, protomolecule can just come from space again if they need it for the plot. Like, they found some protomolecule off on planet.
What happened to the base where they discovered it? I wonder if that was the same place. I wonder if the scientific station was built on the base. But did they destroy that? Yeah, they did destroy
that.
The Martians destroyed it, didn't they?
They did.
The UN ship thinks the Martians are shooting them, but it's actually shooting at the base to stop them getting to it, or something along those lines. Or was it vice versa?
It was the Anubis that the last of the protomolecule on Phoebe was fired out on, right?
I think so, yeah. I think that's right.
Sorry, say this again. It was the Anubis.
The Anubis that the last of the protomolecule from Phoebe was fired out on.
Yes, that was when it was carried after that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because that's where that's the very start of the show. Then it's at that point. More or less. Blah blah blah. Monica's back, looking hot. That leads. Not chronologically, but in the same story, that leads us to Fred and the protomolecule.
He doesn't deny it,
and he's. I don't know if does this seem very Fred-like, but he. This is the thing though. Fred and Dawes, so Johnson and Dawes are working together on things now. That's heavily.
I think we've seen that sort of. We've seen that happen secondhand by Drummer and Ashford.
Yeah, Drummer and Ashford.
Working together on Medina Station. That was clearly a joint operation. So I think, it's implied that, Fred and Dawes have sort of come to terms. And are working together.
But, I mean, but obviously Holden's concern is the security of the protomolecule. But Fred is, very... Well, I think hubristically almost saying, we've got, but this time we're doing it right. We know what we're doing. You know, we're looking after it.
It's perfectly secure. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right. I don't know, because I know you guys love fucking with me, but...
We would never do that.
But we did talk earlier about how with the protomolecule, what you do, it's a tool, right? So you turn it into a weapon, or you can turn
it into
a gate?
I don't entirely... I think you're right, but what the on the very basic level, what the proton molecule does is seem to deconstruct what it comes into contact with and try and make something out of it. So I think if you just... Even now, I think if you just released it... If you took this proton molecule, which is this... Well, it's disconnected from all proton molecule now because it's all dead, and put it back, put it on Earth, say, it would just start doing what it did on Eros again. It would just do that. I don't have a solid reason for thinking that, but I don't have any reason to think it wouldn't do that.
Well, the thing is, right, as far as what my read of it is, that proton molecule had one goal and one goal alone, and that was to build, find enough scrap and materials around it to then... Build the ring gate to make contact.
Yeah.
This sample might not know that's already been done. It might be just like starting it again.
The proton molecule talks to each other, doesn't it?
It does, but this isn't... I think once it's fully constructed, I don't think it's any longer the proton molecule, and it becomes the thing. And I don't think the proton molecule is under control of that thing.
That was my theory
when
we were talking about the rings last time. Is once it becomes a ring...
Vague.
It becomes protomolecule technology, and it's kind of like a fixed form. It's like the difference between a reprogrammable gate array and one that's programmed once only, if you see what I'm saying. It's a bit like that, to put it in a technological term that we understand.
I mean, we don't know ways away on this, but I think the implication, at least the implication in what they're talking about, is that, yeah, this protomolecule can do those things again and will. And I think, while and we talked about this a lot, like, it's definitely true. What the proton molecule specifically does is dependent on who's in control of it and what they're trying to do. There is still something that it fundamentally does, which is deconstruct things and try and, you know, even when they were using the kids and injecting them, the kid, like, that was unsuccessful, really, because, was Kateo the kid?
Yeah.
He was in contact with the other bit of proton molecule. He was part of that project. So them trying to do something else with the proton molecule didn't really work because, you know, he was deconstructing scientists. And, you know, he's still following that basic...
Yeah, he's still following the exact basic pattern that it always follows. Yeah, I think that's a good strong argument.
What was the point of the proto men? Like,
they wanted to weaponize the proton molecule in different
ways. but Kateo, they tried to do with Kateo, they tried to make it into more of an intelligent being.
Yeah,
but he still sort of ended up devolving into the core hybrid thing, essentially.
That's where their tech led, I think. Like, they tried to inhibit that when they realized he was in contact with the thing that was happening on Venus, so they could find out more that was happening on Venus, but that still went down that path ultimately. I don't know if that was the question.
I guess the question is, like, what, how do the proto men contribute to the ring?
Well, they don't, because they've been sort of they've been human directed into something else, but they still want to. Like Katoa disassembling that science was him trying to do what the other bits of the proton molecule were doing, but he's been pushed down this particular path away from that.
But
I think funny, like, say they'd released those proto molecule men onto Mars, which is what they were planning to do. They'd all landed on Mars, they'd ripped Mars apart, then I think they would just start behaving like proto molecule behaves.
I
think so.
Yeah, like, all roads, although take different routes, will all eventually lead to the ring,
which is what the proton molecule is for.
Which is kind of where
the alien story has gone over time as well.
How do you mean?
Also,
the black goo from the prequels to Alien.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the aliens in this.
Oh, sorry, no, I meant Alien.
I was surprised, I guess, when I heard the builders being mentioned on the news reports.
Yeah.
You think that, like, that would have been kept secret or whatever?
Wasn't it the scientist lady that was talking about them, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. It was.
It was her first-hand account. They were
scientist lady. Yeah, she seemed to have done pretty well for herself.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, she was always one of Earth's greatest scientists because she was going through the ring, right? So I guess it's not that much of a promotion for her. But she was like, she's very open about it. And the builders, using the term the builders, just like the investigator. Mm-hmm. Say the reporter.
Does she say the investigator at some point as well? Yeah.
No, she doesn't say the investigator, but the investigator refers to them as the builders.
That's right.
Now, the ones that made the ring, they're not the builders, right?
No, they are.
They are.
Oh, the okay, builders, the builders. Right?
The red ones are something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, the red ones.
I mean, they're sort of red. There's the builders are blue. The builders and the proto molecules blue, and then because the weapon, the anus weapon, was red, orangey red. So I think it's a red blue kind of
Okay.
And when she shows that simulation of this is what it looked like when I stuck my head in the thing. Yeah.
Did it have to be red and blue though? Could they not have added like purple and green and yellow and orange
at the time that Expanse was made and for probably since the 90s up until I think it's turning a bit now, like blue was the science fiction color.
Yeah,
blue is in every Marvel film when they shoot a blue laser into the sky.
Yeah, it's kind of shorthand sort of thing.
Shorthand,
but then sometimes it's green. It used to be, didn't it? Used to be like green in like the 60s and 70s.
Green's radiation.
Ah, right. Yes, green's radiation. Gotcha.
Nvidia. They talked about that in years ago. I listened to the Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay game, which is very good. And there was and they were crazy like Finnish people, so the commentary was actually quite entertaining. And they talked about they didn't want to just make radioactive goop green like everybody else does, so they made it purple. But then in playtesting, nobody knew what it was, and then so they made it green. And everybody was like, "Oh, that's radiation."
it's like Half-Life's got that sort of shorthand going on it,
hasn't it? And of course, the old Geiger counter in the old the suit in
Half-Life, you mean?
Half-Life suit. However, not the only suit of the episode. Someone else gets a suit.
Yeah, well, okay. Doing.
Who gets a suit?
Bobby.
Yeah, so she's
Bobby.
No, this whole thing raised a lot of questions. So Drew, be careful, don't be teleological. I'm asking it from the point of this episode, okay?
Okay.
Oh, you don't want to mention that Bobby's been an alien all along.
Oh, damn it, he's done it again.
Oh, shit.
No, but so Bobby's buying a black market power suit. It's older than the one she used to have, but it's still, it's still the same sort of marine power suit.
Thing. Oh, I have a comment about the power suit, if I may.
Okay.
We haven't seen it yet, I don't think.
No,
so she refers to it.
They open the box.
I think they've said this before, but I think those power suits are called Goliath suits, right?
Yeah, the newest ones are.
Why would you name any weapon after Goliath who lost?
That's a good point, yeah.
Like genuinely, like you'd call it the David suit.
Yeah. Like,
well, the David suit's small and lucky,
and beats the Goliath suit. Anyway,
but this is I think that's quite good because that's the kind of the oxymoronic thing about military.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
You know they'll think they won't take the lesson about the bully being beaten by the little man.
We've made this new warship. It's the HMS
Achilles.
Self-destruct.
Self-destruct. Yeah. There probably are ships called Achilles.
HMS Achilles Heel.
Yeah.
Also, quite a lot of weapons named after indigenous tribes, aren't they?
Yeah. The Tomahawk.
American likes doing that. Yeah.
American ones. Yeah.
Americans.
Which I think probably at the time was like
Americans are weird,
but that was probably they thought they were paying. It was respectful. Like we should name them after Apache helicopter.
They probably
this will make them happy.
So Bobby.
I mean we should do the same. We should call it like the Washington bomb, the Lincoln Annihilator.
Well, they do. I mean, a lot of their ships are named after former presidents a lot.
Yeah, you've got a lot of the aircraft carriers are.
It's always weird when you get a new one. It doesn't exist
Reagan
yet. But like,
or something.
The USS Bill Clinton,
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't exist.
Happen, probably,
that doesn't exist, but yeah.
Yeah,
there are ones called Reagan, but I think it's after they die they name them after.
Oh, that reminds me. Our childhood, it was the Kennedy Space Center, right? And then Republicans got in and were like renamed it to what they renamed it to
Cape Canaveral.
Canaveral. Like can't have it named after Kennedy.
Oh, dear me.
But I always thought in
Deus Ex. Did you see the name of the lunar station, the city? Lovell station.
Lovell, yeah. There's I think they talk about an area of the moon being like Armstrong settlement or something.
Yeah, they've got that.
Sorry, what are you going to say, Chris?
Yeah, I was going to say I always thought in Deus Ex that Castle Clinton was a bit like that.
Yeah, but no, that's all. Yeah.
It actually exists.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
It?
There is.
Yeah, well. Yeah, yeah.
Just coincidence that it happened to be at the same time as a president.
Well, it might. It may be related. No, because Clinton was actually poor, wasn't he, growing up? But yeah. Anyway.
Was it another Clinton?
Yeah.
I think it's a different Clinton. But the American sort of families that gain power do all seem to be quite dynastic, even though that's something that
they say. Again, they just don't seem. I mean, you know, it's a cliche. Ironically, Americans don't understand irony. You know, they just don't seem to get. Not all Americans, but you know, certainly in broad strokes, Americans just don't seem to get irony.
They have
all.
A different relationship to irony than we do, for sure. Yeah,
because
I think their companies are better at irony, but.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Anyway, so a black market suit. So she buys a black market suit. We do see it, though, because she opens the case to look at it.
Mm.
But it's only a brief glimpse, but we can see it's not as flashy as hers was, but it's still the same basic components, you know, sort of armoured bits in the suit. But, and she reports back to Avasarala with a message. Now, at this point, obviously, the Luna thing, we didn't know that yet, but I still have the same questions, even though Avasarala's words fail me. So she's in charge of Luna.
Luna boss.
There's a word for it.
Chief lunatic.
Yeah. No. No, I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. Never mind.
Is it Manscape?
That's it. She's Manscape in charge in charge of Luna. Maybe it's not that. Anyway, so it seems like Bobby's on a secret mission, and she's got this room where she's got the computer thing up, showing all these different criminals that she's, you know, trying to contact and everything. So it seems like what their mission. Well, so anyway, who is this mission for, or who are they answering to? Is my question. Now, hang on that before you come up with an answer to that, because I also want to say, it seems like what the mission is to track down how Mars started doing bad shit, how their stuff started getting out, or military stuff started getting out of Mars in the first place, seems to be what they're trying to track down.
Yeah.
Which is why she's trying to track like a really heavy duty bit of a missile or whatever. Now, obviously, we could say that that's something Avasarala's doing, but I don't think she is. I don't think that's like overt thing that Avasarala's department. You know, it's not her department.
Oh no, it's not. You mean it shouldn't be what she's doing, kind of thing?
Yes,
like
yes.
It shouldn't be with it. Yeah, no. For
oh
sure.
It's obviously Bobby and Avasarala that are doing.
Yeah,
this
I see.
And
yeah.
doing this investigation.
No, it's clear. No, that's clear. That's off, clearly off the books.
Off the books. So I wonder who she's answerable to, and I suspect the answer is Avasarala's answerable to herself on that. Yeah.
Well, she said, "Ma'am." She only calls one person "Ma'am," right?
Oh, no, we knew it was Avasarala. It wasn't... No, I'm not saying that we didn't know it was Avasarala.
Who is Avasarala answerable to?
Yeah, who is this... Who's authorised... Yeah, who's authorised this mission?
Yeah.
This investigation?
It's Avasarala doing it on Avasarala their own, for sure.
Doing it for her own back, basically, is what the answer seems to be. Also, I noticed in some of the little bits and pieces, Bobby, she paid for Martin's family.
I like that.
As he wanted, as he intended, and stuff.
That was genuine. That was genuinely touching. That
it's quite a nice
little
thing.
Bit,
That's also kind of such a Bobby thing to do, isn't it?
Did she
get everyone's share apart from Lily's?
Lily's. Because
the operation kind of.
Yeah, they didn't get anything out of that. I think she was just making so much money, she had some money.
Yeah.
She wasn't spending it on anything except hotel rooms and drink, basically.
That did give it away. She wasn't consulting, because you don't get paid for consulting.
Yeah, you don't get paid for consulting, do you?
No.
Well, you're
famously don't like Windows as well.
That's what gave it away.
Yeah.
Is there anything else connected to that? No.
Yeah. Oh. Well, there's a Mars connection.
Go on.
It's Alex.
You
look
startled, Ben.
I was going to come back to. I was going to come to my I was going to come to him because the first time we see Alex, he's in the Razorback. Now I'd wonder where the fuck he's gone. Where was it all this time? It was too big to be inside the Rocinante. So where was
kept
that?
Kept at a Tyco, maybe?
Did they just leave it somewhere? Yeah, was it just left behind from somewhere? Yeah. Because I'm trying to remember the timeline of it.
Impound auction. He got it, back at the impound.
Oh, and I liked the little conversation that the Mars traffic controller, whatever they are, has with him about, we're for sure are glad you didn't come back in the Tachi, because wouldn't have let you take off it again. But, so that shows you that although it's been legitimised by Avicenna
and about
Earth and UN, the Martians still aren't, they're still not recognising that it's legitimate.
Well,
salvage.
Was that banter or something?
It seemed like it was partially lighthearted, but...
But there would be, if...
There would be legal implications if they took it back to Mars, yeah.
If somebody stole an Apache
Avicenna
helicopter
paid off it
the
off,
US.
Didn't they say that Avicenna literally...
That's the point, like, it's legally settled, but it probably still irritates them.
Yeah,
someone might trust it. But,
Alex, so he's back in the room, I wondered where it was. Mm-hmm. The other thing about Alex, this is I've got some inside information on Alex that might help or might not help, but... Mm-hmm. It's not directly relevant to this episode. It's just Alex in general. So I'll save it for when you finish your bit about Alex. Go.
Oh, so he bothers his wife again.
Yes. Yeah.
His wife seems so lovely. Just like
she's
so much better.
Haughty.
She's just like leave me, and like what she says to him is so perfect. Like, which
exactly
version do you
want
to hear?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the version where we miss you and you've ruined our lives, or do you want to hear the version where like we don't give a shit, so you're absolved of responsibility? Like, which one do you want? Which one will make you go away?
I kind of feel like I can be that person if I don't self reflect enough, you know. I think most men probably can. To be honest.
I think most people probably
but his son or daughter son who's on
son,
the trip, the kid that we seem to forget as soon as they move out of frame. This is pod racing kid, that's it.
It's very awkward, but again it's like, yeah, I mean, he's basically in the same position that his mother was in. He's like, Dad, you're in town. Oh, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah. you're just kind of some dude I don't know now.
Yeah, he's definitely less... what's the word? I'm having trouble with my language tonight. He's less open to... There's a phrase or a word I'm thinking of. But he's less amenable.
Manscaped?
Amenable. He's less... yes, Manscaped. No, he's less amenable to Alex...
Yeah.
Since a bit more time's passed and he's grown up a bit.
Sure.
I
think it's very realistic. I mean, it's got that feeling of like, divorced dad who hasn't been in contact and trying to come back and reestablish a relationship. And and the kid's just like, can I go play with my friends now? It's not like it's no animosity particularly.
No,
unlike
it's
the mom,
just it's just kind of a
just
boredom.
Like, I don't know you.
Yeah, there's no connection here. He sort of hero worshipped him through ignorance as a younger child, because that's what happens when you're a younger child. You don't you don't really get all the pieces don't all fit in your head as you're younger. But what his wife says, I mean, I don't know if it's interesting that they made him do that when he'd basically done the same thing over communication anyway. It was basically the same conversation for the third time. The first time it went a wee bit different, and then she was much more clear with the second time.
Part of this is Alex, unlike the other people on the crew, I think, but Alex doesn't really have friends. Because like that's the kind of thing you talk over with
the
Ross, a friend.
Yeah, outside the Rossinante, he's not really got anybody.
Even within the Rossinante, he doesn't really
and
have
Bobby,
a friend, particular friendship with anybody.
Actually, I'm surprised that Bobby has as much time for him as she does as well. But then again, that's kind of a... They're both Martians, but
they're
both outcasts from Mars as well.
They've got that thing in common. So but if he had a friend, he'd talk that over and they go, no, that's a terrible idea.
Don't
leave,
that,
it alone.
Leave it alone.
You burnt that bridge, leave it alone. And then and the show keeps making him out to be a twat. Like he goes and does these twatish things, but he's not, he has no self-awareness of it. Like he's not like he realizes like, I shouldn't be doing, even if he was like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I need this for resolution, or there's none of that. He's just like, I'll turn up again.
Do you know, he's giving me vibes of Bill from King of the Hill.
Which one's Bill?
Yeah.
Is that Baldy one?
Yeah, blames his wife for everything, and
I forgot. I do have. I do have a note about this episode specifically to do with Alex as well, and it's Bobby's not even taking Alex's shite in this episode. I think she's probably going to regret that and come back and say, "Look,
she's acting out of frustration." Yeah. But I wish she wasn't, like, knowing where this goes. Like, I wish that was just the end of it. Just like, fuck off.
The other thing I was going to say about Alex, just we talked about it in the past, and I kind of thought I should have known more than I did. And then once I looked into it, something, I go, oh, fuck yeah, that of course it is. That's what it is. And it everything sort of clicked into place again. The reason he's got the sort of cowboy thing going on is that people who settled the part of Mariner Valley where he's from were all from Texas. That's it. So he is, although he's not first generation, they were all Texans. So there's no, it's not an affectation to do the sort of cowboy thing. That's how he was brought up. That's actually how they were brought up from, you know, the part of Mars.
I enjoy that as a conceit.
It's good as well, because it's the same with the Belters. You'll see Belter communities that are very obviously sort of, you know, on certain things. Is this the bar?
This is the bit. Where
he's like, fuck. Looking around going, and goes, Jesus, what's happening to Mars?
Jesus, space for rent, everything's going out of sale.
Yeah, because he notices down, when he's on the shuttle thing going into the city, he's like,
it's basically
things
like,
are falling apart here.
That's the UK for the last 30 years.
Yeah. That's the inside story of why he does that, yeah. Why he's all cowboy and horse and all that stuff. It's not some sort of affectation that he's picked up from... Because some of the things, like Miller, for example, had some earth things going on, but they were deliberate affectations, like, you know, dressing like a... You know,
it wasn't as broad. Alex is very broad with the horse and the partner and the... Yeah.
He doesn't have much of a personality, so that kind of feels...
It's the kind of things with people with uninteresting personalities do. Like, they just go, I'm going to make this my entire fucking personality. Mm.
So there's that,
Whiskey or draft beers or... collecting vinyl records. Like, those things that people build. Or football.
Pens, being too into pens. Football. So,
I mean, stamps if you're really bad. Oh,
I've always thought I would probably quite enjoy stamp collecting. I think
you have to learn about where they come from and all that sort of stuff as well to make it worthwhile. You know.
Yeah, I think honestly.
The other thing I was going to say, this goes back to, this is Amos. So this, I've mixed up my notes a bit. It was when Amos lands at Luna. There's a really long effect shot of the landing. Did you notice?
Yeah.
And that was a nice shot as well, because when you were talking about CG earlier, I thought, you only talk CG. That landing sequence was really, you know, it was a bit sort of 2001-y, I reckon, in a way.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. Yeah, it was 100%. In fact, perhaps even more. What's the sequel called? 2021 or 2011 or
2010?
Yeah, because I think that. That's a lot on the moon. They do a lot on, I think it's, but yeah, I mean, definitely, yeah, 2001.
No, 2001's on the moon as well, yeah.
A little bit.
That's when they discovered the first monolith.
The first, and also, yeah, when he lands and the two sort of security dudes come to get him to take him to Rubber, and he's like, they were all alive.
They were alive when I left them, yeah. And we're not here to arrest you, sir.
Yeah.
They were like that when I got
escort you, you know. We escort you to your meeting that you don't know you've got, basically.
I love it. It's great, because last season, we didn't really get any Amos. Amos, and now it's Amos again. It was just sort of slightly
unhinged, mindless Amos from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if you did that in an airport. Like, what?
They were all alive when I left them.
They were alive when I left them. Yeah, that's not my bomb.
I've never seen that bomb before in my life.
It's not even armed.
Yeah, what do you want? Yeah. It's just the fissionable core. There's no mechanism to set it off. So, you know.
There's no implosion. Yeah.
Do you know what? You know there's how no people obviously hate YouTube pranksters?
Yes, of course.
Everyone hates YouTube pranksters. It's one of the... But, like, part of me is, like, try something in an airport and see if you live. Like, I'm just curious. Like, you know, yeah. Like, I just sort of, like...
Yeah, if they were as genuinely... brave and outrageous clever as they thought, and outrageous as they thought they were. Yeah,
just go and do that.
Go and do that shit outside a military base, or
yeah,
you know, near a prison.
They have a lot of the like pranks gone wrong on r/ I am the main character, and one was just pranksters, YouTube pranksters, running up to people at ATMs and pretending to rob them.
Oh.
And then they would like, they go like, it's just a prank, we'll give them some money. But yeah, he just ran up to him, just got fucking laid out. This dude just like...
I'm surprised they don't get shot or cut or something,
yeah,
you know?
Because
if I was at an ATM and I was like, you know, I'm very wary. I mean, not that go to them much anymore, but...
No.
Anyway, yeah. The one I like, those prank go wrong things, it makes me laugh every fucking time. It's like a couple of college students talking, and some fucker jumps out of a big plastic bin.
Oh, and he just gets
and the guy just automatically goes fucking smacks him. It's like
Wasn't it like there was no thought? It was just a pure reaction.
Yeah, pure reaction. Yeah.
When I was at university, there was in the sort of the student union building where you had the bar and everything, there was a guy who dressed as a Christmas tree, a relatively convincing Christmas tree, and just like as people were walking past, we just go boo, scared the shit out of me.
There was one of those things that was like it was on what you know when you get these crappy, really cheap TV shows where they go, oh, aren't people in other countries silly? Those kind of shows, and Japan seems to be a favourite target for that. And one of the things they showed was a TV thing from Japan where it was a prank like that, but somebody was in a supermarket display as toilet rolls. It was like a big pyramid of toilet rolls, and he'd just go, you know, and it's like... But nothing really happens. It was just like, oh, he's frightened. He's surprised a few people by not being where you'd expect a person to be. That's hilarious and well thought out, that prank, you know.
There was one show, I think it was on, like, Bravo or something, and it was called Drunken Businessman. It was another make fun of the Japanese... where they got these Japanese guys, these Japanese businessmen that were clearly just on a night out.
You told us about this before. Yeah, I can't remember what happened.
They were given a trivia question and a phone booth, and they were like, "Okay, so you're absolutely blotto. Here's a question. Here's the phone." And they would just like ring up someone they knew and just like make an ass of themselves, and then ta-da.
That is kind of funny.
I mean, it makes
like what's that twat's name that does the show where they fake something random being some sort of skill with the boxes?
Oh, Deal or No Deal.
No, Edmonds, isn't it? It's Edmonds, yeah.
Yeah,
because when he did that Saturday night, when he had the Saturday night slot, they used to do the pranking celebrities thing. And one of the best ones that I remember, not because of the prank, because they were all fucking inane, but was that he tried to prank one of those guys. He used to be it was an actor that was on Bread, and he played like the nice brother from Bread. He's the one that had a real job and everything, if you don't really remember much about it.
I remember, yeah.
And it was that actor, and like what they were trying to do was prank him into, I don't even know what the prank was meant to be, but basically it was very nice and helpful to somebody that appeared to be in distress, and this was somehow supposed to make us laugh.
No,
he's a nice guy. Well, that's hilarious, because he doesn't really need to help this person then. Mm-mm. What? Cork.
Yep.
Do you know what does make me laugh? He did he did live in Blobby Land when it got shut down. He hit rock bottom. I heard that he had to literally just live in Blobby Land.
There was an actual Blobby Land then.
It's still there. Like, it's like a well-known abandoned amusement park. We should I should go there sometime, do a video.
Like, you're right. We should go. Oh, I should.
No, I've been getting. I was speaking to Drew about this earlier. I've been going out a bit lately. I said to Drew earlier, I overdid it. I went into Bath, the city, yesterday, but that was a Sunday and it was moderately quiet, but it was a bit stressful. And by later in the day, I was starting to feel a bit shaky over it. But then I went into Midsummer Norton, the town, the local town. Went into there today, and I shouldn't have done it so soon after trying it as well, because it kind of, some things freak me out in the end of it. But yeah, I've been going out a bit.
Hashtag fake agoraphobe.
Fake agoraphobe, yeah. Not really agoraphobic.
I mean, it's been a relatively mild winter for the most part. So
it's been a cold winter.
It's been cold.
No, it's wind not chill. Been cold. Not that.
Well, I don't really feel the cold particularly, but I have been lately. I think it's because my arthritis is probably doing something to my hands, because my hands, my circulation, genetic present from my mum, really. She was always, her circulation was always bad. And what was the other thing?
I mean, I feel the cold quite bad. It's my weakness. If I was like an Elder Scrolls character or something, I would be... you know, weak to frost
minus
damage.
-50 resistance to cold.
Yeah. No, mine would be heat. I hate heat.
I love heat. I can do a lot in heat.
No, I hate. No, I'm not a heat.
I always think it's pathetic how we just melt in summer. Like, our summers are fine. They're nice. They're good.
No, they're not. Down here it gets to like 30 odd degrees and shit.
30 is lovely. 30 is like fucking ideal temperature.
I'm from Scotland. It's not.
We're a species that kind of came into our own during ice ages. We're very well adapted for the cold. We are not
interstitial parts,
like, yeah. If you get it up to like 37 degrees, we just die. Our organs literally dissolve. Like, we are not built for heat. We're built for cold. So you are a fucking freak.
I'm the next generation. I'm the evolutional successor.
You're the next step in evolution.
For climate change and global warming and all that business.
Well, there's the thing about, I don't want to spend too long on this, but if El Nino and the Gulf Stream and all that, like, direct, because we've only got the climate we have because of the Gulf Stream, right? Without the Gulf Stream, we'd be like more like Scandinavia in terms of climate. And if the Gulf Stream gets redirected, like, the Earth might get warmer, but Britain might get significantly colder.
I don't want that. No, thank you. I would.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about moving to like some of the most inhospitable bits of the UK. Yeah, anyway, deliberately, like the island, northwest, or the islands, or something.
Oh, in the middle of summer, when it's up in the 30s, and they, I look at the weather report and I see how it's like in Scotland, it's like 20. I'm like, God, I wish I was up there.
I could do a VM.
Do you reckon?
It's easier to make yourself warm and wrap up than it is to cool down. It's just.
We're very good.
Down, you flip. You just splash some water on your face, cold water. You have a cold shower.
That cools you down for five minutes. You can literally heat a room up. We do have air conditioners now, but they're very expensive.
And bad
very expensive to run. Like,
hang on a minute. Heating's expensive. Heating's not cheap.
To cool a place down, what we actually do is produce heat.
Yes.
Like, we're very good at producing heat. We're very bad at producing cold. Like, cold is very hard to make.
Yeah. If you ever go to the back of your fridge, you'll see the dichotomy of it.
Well, it's just taking the heat away, isn't it? That's what it's doing.
Yes, but you generate more heat in the process of doing
that. I love this blows my mind, and it shouldn't blow my mind because it's basic science, right? But I love the fact, for some reason, that chest freezers are the most efficient form of freezer.
It's so cool. They're so. I literally watched a documentary, like a short YouTube documentary about this recently. And their chest freezers are startlingly efficient.
Yeah.
Because the cold air just stays. Obviously, you open the door, the cold air just fucking stays there.
So we should have ovens on the roof.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ovens should be at height. Yeah.
Something that always freaks me out when I think about it is that cold doesn't exist.
Yeah. No,
because we experience.
Like, people just say, you're letting the cold in. And even I say it. I chide myself internally.
We're not scientistic. Like, using it colloquially is totally fine. But, like, but just in reality, like, we think we experience cold as a sensation and we experience heat as a sensation. But really,
It's a relative thing.
Yeah,
it's not a song of ice and fire. It's a song of fire and less fire.
Less fire.
Also,
I'm sorry, but like we can only go down to like -270 whatever Celsius.
-273.25.
Well, I don't know. Again, this is arbitrary, but you can go up into the millions. You go millions of upwards.
Sky's the limit, baby.
Sky's the limit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a matter of more energy.
Yeah.
Entropy, innit?
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Well, I mean, things can only stop vibrating once they've stopped vibrating.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always vibrate more, but you can. But once you stop. I guess that's
it. Yeah, done.
I don't know why this is my my impression of a
that's molecules vibrating.
Yeah,
you can vibrate as fast as you want. Like,
yeah. Don't get him. Don't make a mess, Drew.
So anyway, this is actually pointed out in one of the fan wiki things. It's the first time that Holden has been alone since the Canterbury in this episode.
Why is he alone?
When the engineers go off the ship and he's on the Rocinante by himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time he's ever been alone. I mean, you know.
They actually highlight that with a little bit of editing.
Yeah, they do, because they highlight that all four crew members are separated and alone at various points, yeah.
So in some ways, whilst this did feel like an episode of The Expanse compared to, say, season 4, they're not together. Now, I'm assuming they'll meet up relatively quickly, maybe in the next episode or something.
Well, can we talk about Naomi leaving? Because for me, this is a bit tropey in an annoying way, where she's like, this is something I need to do on myself. My own.
Yeah, they've already had these conversations about not leaving each other and
several times, multiple times,
But they do sort of, you know, they sort of.
She justifies it.
Yeah, she justifies. They crowbar in some justifications.
Also, know. I've said before, I'll just say it again at the start of this season, so we know, like the Naomi Philip Marco stuff. Like, I care about Naomi. It's not that I don't care about Naomi as a character, but I don't care about that stuff. I don't care about Philip. I don't care about her relationship with Philip. I'm not sympathetic to that.
Yeah, they've never.
I don't know why.
They've just never built anything into the show for us to make us care about.
We've only just met Philip. I mean, if he was a longer running character. But hints. But if he had a minor plot line.
Exactly.
The minorest of plot lines, or something.
Yeah, whereas this is the actual. You know, this is the first time we get some real plot time. And it's also the time that Naomi goes off to find them. Now it's like, right, okay, it's all happening at once. It is one of the less
compelling.
Yeah, compelling parts of this series. Yeah, this.
Sorry, I meant Manscaped.
Pardon? You meant Manscaped?
One thing that going back to Tycho Station for a moment. So Fred Johnson's talking with Holden, and they bring up the Eye of Sauron thing. And doesn't he say, because I didn't quite, I felt like maybe this is information I forgot or it didn't stick the first time, but it says like he brings up the I'll just show you, because to be honest I can't, describing it is seems
I know what you mean the thing that the thing that scientist lady says we can't actually detect in other ways, it seems to be some point, you know, getting only visible to the humans that are
because they sent animals through the Eye of Horus or whatever, and the Eye of Sauron, and this is like, are these life forms?
I think those are the red aliens, as I think, or something they've constructed, or there's some emanation of the red aliens. Yeah, if you don't mind me coining that as what we're going to call them.
All right, the red aliens, not to be confused with the Red Indians, because we don't use that terminology on Space Virgin.
The native aliens.
They show up and they're red, and we call them the Red Aliens. And then it turns out that we are basically named a species because of their first visible.
It's where we thought. No, because I was reading some stuff by Native American sort of race scientist mm-hmm. people, not race science. Jesus Christ, race politics people. And yeah, there was this Native American leader who, not all Native Americans agree with this, but he was saying, no, I want to keep the name Red Indian because it preserves the white man's stupidity. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
It's
just so grossly inaccurate. Both words are just wrong.
It's a mistake. A very ignorant mistake, I guess. Like,
and also the fact that they basically, right up until probably the, I don't know, 60s or 70s, they basically lumped everybody who's a native North American into one group. The tribes thing was shown as was made to be some sort of, you know, it was very it was portrayed as militaristic rather than social, and it was all this tribe attacked our poor, you know, settlers, and this tribe were at war with this other tribe. You know,
it's actually something. Yeah, I mean, they're always portrayed as like military. You know, yeah. But something that blows my mind is only tangentially related, but the fact that, because depiction of, especially the kind of cowboy films that we grew up with, like Native American culture is always depicted as like a horse-based culture. You know, horses are very important because there were no horses in America until Europeans arrived there. Horses did not exist. They were not initially a horse-based culture at all.
Yeah, there's so many things like that. Oh, God. Yeah.
And also, the thing I wonder, right, is where the name comes from. It's like, presumably someone amongst the colonists or the initial settlers or whatever, like, they knew at some point this wasn't India. Why do they stick with it? Like,
I mean, the Caribbean being called the West Indies, which is a term we still use. West India. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Is it Christopher Columbus was
well,
just like...
Well, wait a minute. I've got a Hamish theory.
How long till they realised it wasn't India? That's interesting.
Well, pretty much right away.
Once.
Yeah, because okay. Anyway, my theory, the Hamish theory I've got, is that it's deliberate to enforce colonialism because we owned India.
That might, once they, I think there was definitely a point where they thought it was India, but that makes sense.
Actually makes much more sense. Yeah, like it's almost
the
like,
new India in the sense of our new colony.
Is ours. Sort of thing,
definitely.
Stuff.
Yeah, it was just like, Indian had become synonymous with
shorthand for
colonial subjects.
Because I mean, the jewel of the empire and all that sort of thing. Isn't it?
Yeah,
No, I think I would put my money on that one. Well done, Hamish. Yeah.
Good job.
Good job, Hamish. We've discovered and solved racism.
PhD funding pending.
We've solved racism. Well done, guys. We've solved racism.
You're welcome, Planet Earth.
Yeah. the last little thing I've got in my notes is the last thing
three,
that happens.
Three
in the...
Asian white men solve racism. Who definitely? Sorry.
Three Asian white men.
I thought you said Asian,
Asian
white
first
men.
As well. Yeah. How can we both Asian and white? But... There
well,
are white
Siberia.
People in Asia.
Catcher is Asian white.
Right, okay. Back to a brown person. Marco. Marco. That is one thing about Marco that doesn't sit too well with me, is that he is a brown person and he's a terrorist.
I think they mentioned this guy, and so there's a definitive answer to this, but I think my read is it's a commentary on that, like the makers of this show are smart enough to not do that by accident.
Not do what by accident?
Make the overt terrorist bad guy.
And he is.
I don't know what the dude's ethnicity is, but he has a sort of Middle Eastern look to him.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to.
But
his speech at the end. His rousing. I mean, Marco's obviously a villain.
There's a lot of things to connect to that as well, if I may.
But it got me. I'm on board. He convinced me.
Yeah, it's very convincing.
And the line at the end says, we have the power to be audacious. And I was like, yeah, that's nice. Mm. That's nice. Some nice
good words. People. Good use. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, well, the thing is as well, is that like, they've done a few different, you know, like they've had a few different races of baddies.
Mm-hmm.
I think, or is it just been Jules Pierre Mao and then old white guys? Any women? Baddies?
I mean, Jules Pierre Mao, the sort of villains of the show, Jules Pierre Mao, Mercury, and now Marco. Yeah,
Mercury's definitely white.
Oh, and the doctor, the doctor, but yeah.
The doctor. Oh yeah, for sure.
Was it not Dr. Stanford? Not that.
Dr. Mean Guy.
Yeah. So
one with the kids is what the one we're talking about. The one with Katara. Mm. And
although I guess I don't know. I don't want to like go too much into the stereotypes, but he is a leader of a rebellion, isn't he? Rather than
who
the
is
leader
sorry?
Of
Marco.
Marco, yeah. Rather than lead, yeah. because Jules Pierre Mao is the leader of a corporation.
Yeah, so, I think there's definite bits of lots of other people from history in Marco's character, and I think that in an ironic sort of way, Che Guevara type things going on.
There. Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that's certainly what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's what
they're
going for.
Right.
In relation to that whole end scene, then, because a lot of it is just it's a speech being played back on the news or something, or on the builder's thing, whilst he's like surveying his little plans and going and twiddling his moustache. But that starts with when I think it's when Alex arrives at Mars. No, not Alex. Hang on. Give me a second.
Amos arrives on Earth?
Well, anyway, whichever one, it's one of the two. It's when one of them arrives. I think it might be Mars. There's like a hologram of a ship, and 516 souls were lost. And it's ship's called the Augustan Gamara. And now, the books, it's slightly different. So, but I'm going to I'll just go straight for what it is in the show. It's the one that Marco and Naomi blew up.
Ah. Oh, is it?
That's what that ship is.
I did wonder what that was, yeah.
Yeah, because it was, I was like, I know the name, but I can't remember why. And another thing is this, I don't know if this is in, this might not exist in the TV show, hang on. Ah, it doesn't, okay. I'm not going to even mention that then. Because that's something that, it's connected to this, but there's a difference between what happens with the Augustan Gamara in the books and the TV show. So, I'll ignore the other thing because it's only relevant to the books. But yeah, Lovell City. Yeah, it's Lovell City, so it is Luna. So it's when Amos arrives. You're right. So the ship blew up at the docks on the Luna base as well. Yeah.
Oh, one. What? Sorry, this is a tangent, but it's one that I think is definitely worth acknowledging.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the background up for it, because I never noticed this before.
I'll zoom in on Chris again. Then.
Yeah, do a big Chris zoom. Rossios
version. Stop putting your finger in front of it because you're fucking up the focus. Hang on, Chris. Your quality's gone right down for me, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine for me. Rossios.
Yeah, but it's like version 5.1 or something, isn't it?
5.1.
I can't read it properly because Chris is moving and it's making the quality dip.
What does it say under that? Macaulay Occlusion.
Yeah, everybody's gone. Right, hang on. Drew's smoothed it, but Chris hasn't for some reason.
I could do a refresh.
Yeah, do
you're
a refresh.
Fine for me. I don't know.
No, sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm recording it, is what I mean. So, obviously, yeah. Yeah, Rossios version 5.1, I think it says.
Yeah, it does.
And it's more modular acquisition. Oh, that's just the name of what's happening.
Do you think it's based on Ubuntu?
No, it doesn't look shit.
Definitely Gentoo.
No, they don't. It's like they don't. I don't know. Gentoo is not like who would do that? Is that Naomi or would that be Tycho? Yeah.
I mean, they are.
Because if it's Naomi, I don't know. Naomi could be. She might be Arch. She. You know,
no, she can't be Arch because she's never mentioned it.
Yay. I run Arch, by the way.
I don't know. I don't know what Linux distribution Naomi would put on the Rossi.
But incidentally, Kieran Alexander, all I know about him is that he's Canadian. That's all I know about him.
Who's that? Sorry, who? Marco?
Kieran Alexander, the guy who plays Marco. Yeah.
Marco. Yeah. Mm. But yeah, no, his speech at the end, quite rousing, got me on board. I'm fully on board. I'll launch asteroids at whatever you like.
Yeah. So then we see him scrolling through all the rocks that still exist. Obviously, they've lost one to this fuck up. Or test or whatever it was, they've lost one.
Yeah.
Rock number 9 is gone, or at least diminished and probably visible to scans.
To be confused with Mambo number 5, which is a very different,
that's a very different
that's
thing.
Still on the way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's definitely coming up. I had to go back, I had to rewind slightly to something because the target for the one that we do see, the last one that we see with the little time, 12 days to go or whatever countdown, I was trying to work out where it was and I had to sort of rotate the thing because obviously, back to imperialism, we're used to seeing the map of the Earth with UK in the middle and North and South arbitrarily determined by us being the North, you know? But I worked it out roughly where it's going to hit, and it's somewhere in Southeast Asia. It might be China. It's certainly that sort of area. Because if you look at the bit, Chris can bring it up, I suppose, because he's the bring it up man.
Yeah, he is.
Once you spot Australia, you get where it is going. So it's on the mainland of Asia, so just up towards China or something. It's past the island, past the islands and stuff, and past the little coastal.
Yeah, I've got this here. I could probably flip it around quickly if we had any.
I don't really need to. Yeah, if you look at it, roughly 90 degrees. You'll see that it's. Why are you?
Sorry.
Why did you do that?
I was fading out of existence. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. But you'll see that if you look at the bottom left of the screen, that's Australia.
Right, yeah.
Are we talking about where the crosshair is?
No.
Bottom left.
Yeah, but where the crosshair is where the target is. So it's somewhere in Southeast Asia.
What's on the far right?
No, that's North Isn't America.
It? No, it's
that's
not.
That's Antarctica.
Where the target is.
I can't see it
North
all because Chris's head's in the way. Sorry, Chris.
Sorry.
I've got my own copy open. That's North America because you've got North America and South America right there, leading down to Antarctica. Yeah, and Australia's on the other side. Yeah.
Oh, right. You're right. It's totally the other way around.
Yeah.
Totally the other way around. You're right because
And that's Africa.
So that's Australia.
Eurasia.
No, that's not Africa. No, it's not Africa. What?
Africa's in the top left, and then Eurasia coming down. And then Australia on the bottom left.
No,
and then it's North America, South America, Antarctica.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's in the East Coast, North America, by the look of it.
New York,
really?
Whoa.
I'm not seeing this. Are you suggesting that? Are you suggesting it's a squashed up map rather than a realistic map?
No, it's polar. The middle is the pole, and it's going out from the pole, the North Pole.
So, right. Mm. I don't.
The middle of the map is the North Pole. Not the middle, but yeah. Where the pole is the pole.
But I don't see how that makes the target America then.
So look, see, I mean the comma shaped island on the right, that's South America, quite clearly, right? There's nothing else that can be.
Yeah.
The comma shaped island on the right.
So that doesn't makes it the.
So going up from that, which is left.
Yeah,
that's
it's
North
America.
Yeah.
So where the crosshair is completely on the other side of the planet then?
No, that's on North America.
No, it's not.
Hang on, I'm going to stream. Unprecedented.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Because the fuck is that at the bottom? The scales seems all wrong.
You see that? Can you see that?
Yeah. Ah, oh, no, see the crosshair's in a different place on yours.
Oh.
Ah, yeah. If you weren't looking at Chris's one, then the crosshair's different.
No, it's in the same place on Chris's.
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm looking at mine still. Sorry, move your head just a second, Chris. Oh, what were you looking at?
We're looking at different...
49...
You're looking at an earlier target as well. You're not looking at the same rock.
Okay. 49 something?
This one. There you go.
Oh, well, that's Africa. That's Africa. This is Eurasia.
What?
Look, there's Scandinavia. Can you see my mouse pointer?
Yeah, but I don't agree with you.
So this is Scandinavia. There's the UK. That's Spain. That's Africa. That's the Middle East. That's India. That's China.
Oh, it's flipped around as well.
So the North Pole is here, and everything's radiating out from the North Pole. Here's the North Pole. That's North America, South America, Antarctica. This is Russia, China, India. Oh, something's gone wobbly.
It's a India, very weird projection.
Australia.
Yeah, I've got Australia in the bottom left. So I thought that, okay. So
that's the. So it's that will the be scales the Atlantic, different. The Atlantic coast of northish Africa would be that.
Right. Okay. When it does have an actual longitude and latitude on the screen, we could be non-lazy and actually look that up. Okay, I'll do it.
All right, we could do it, yeah.
We are
a science. We are a science show.
Longitude.
We are a science.
Latitude.
That's the motto of our show.
We are a science.
We are a science.
Right, type a place name? No, I want a latitude. Right, so what's the...
Have I stopped streaming now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I can no longer see Chris's thing.
Sorry.
I'll zoom in on Chris's one again, which is fuzzy.
I've got a better one.
Well, just read it out to me.
Okay. Hang on. Okay. So it is. Right. So it's. Oh, shit. The thing's getting in the way. Right. Okay, so it's where do I read from? Like 14 degrees. I'll put it up. It's confusing me.
What? I can read most of it if your head wasn't in the way.
Sorry, it's the hair that does it.
It's your hair, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. 14. I don't know how this takes notation, so I'm just putting a space between the numbers to see how we get on. See if it works. And then 18 04 47 west.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Ghana or Liberia is my
I'm still not seeing the way that projection works, but yeah, okay.
I think I do see.
So what you're saying, right, at the bottom of the crosshair on Chris's one, right, so you've got the circle and then the crosses, the crosshair coming out of it. Directly to the left of the crosshair is the Middle East, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha now. So that looks like, it looks like it's somewhere like Ghana, yeah. Actually, it's off the coast of Ghana, but then a tidal wave will still... fuck everybody up. So yeah, it looks like it's off the coast of Accra.
Actually, I like that projection because it's probably every
projection is wrong because it's an oblate spheroid that we're living on, not a.
Not well, arguably, I've heard arguments to the contrary.
Don't you start with your flat Earth nonsense, sir. I might as well look up where Keon Alexander's. Ethnicity is as well. There we go. Fuck it.
So the bit
while we're doing all this all this searching for stuff.
So you know the bottom bit of the crosshair on this thing here. So is
it doesn't name it, say anything about his life. So all it says is he's Canadian.
So that's
like all
Australia.
The villains of history. Yeah.
Straight. So is Britain like?
Look for Scandinavia to find Britain.
God, I can't see it on my side.
Yeah, this is the problem. Is the way it's laid out, it's kind of Also, that means that Marco is looking at it backwards, which is weird.
But the text is the right way.
Yeah, but Marco's at the other side of it from us.
Hang on, let me get up again. I'll get a geography lesson again.
Marco's looking towards us, Luke. Or is so that meant to be a reflection on a screen?
Are you looking at my screen?
Yeah.
So that is Scandinavia. You can tell because it's shaped like Scandinavia. And there's the UK.
Okay.
There's France. There's Spain right next to Africa. That's the UK.
So that's the Mediterranean at the tip of the bottom of the point thing.
No, the Mediterranean. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. We've solved the map.
We've solved racism and maps.
And here, this is West India, and there's East India.
Right, does anyone else have any notes?
No, I did all my notes. Apart from I just have you look amazing, which is what Amos says to Abbasarella.
There's the important note that I had on there is
well, all my notes have been in Vim. Guess how many lines of notes I've got now. This is including each; they're basically double spaced.
When did you start?
Have you kept all your notes from the start?
Just a bit of fun. Season one, episode one. I've got my notes all the way through
in one file. Yeah,
in one file.
All right. Yeah. So this is episode 49.
How many lines is it? How many lines of code?
How many lines of code is these notes?
Oh, I want to say.
I want to say 650.
Mm-hmm. Double space. Bear in mind.
Oh. 200.
If it's a double space, then 1200. Then
it's 984.
Wow.
So many lines of notes I've got. Yeah.
I'm killing trees every time. Sorry,
I'm only killing electrons.
I'm old school, you know.
Well, but beautiful.
Having said that, you're running a computer which runs power, which also contributes to. Yeah, I think we're all evil.
Evil. Oh yeah.
We're all equally evil.
I did say equally evil.
Can you stop? Yeah, thank you. Oh, yeah. Let's put you on the other side now. You've joined the UN.
We found a way to.
Oh, so he's fucked off then. He'll be back. Well, he will come back.
Wales just got nuked. Oh, no.
No, Wales has been unnuked. Yeah.
Unnuked.
Oh, if Wales got nuked, I would have probably seen a flash out the window, mate. I'm not that far away from the border.
Get the Severn Estuary on your door.
I learned watching, again, a documentary somewhere. If the flash is white, that's how you know it's a nuke, rather than if conventional high explosives have a yellow-orange flash, whereas nukes have
chemical
it's
thing,
pure white
pure
flash.
White,
so. I can imagine you explaining to that to someone as we're all about to die.
Bombs are going off. You know what? No, that's fine. That one's orange. You're good.
Yeah, but it was like right there, and there's another one coming. Yeah, but at least we know it's just a conventional bomb that's going to kill us.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Kinder, gentler machine gun hand, as the song lyric goes. So, Chris, question for you then. Early impressions of Series 5 then. What do you think?
I think we're back on track. I liked seeing the familiar places, you know, Tycho.
Medina Station.
Was that the only familiar place?
No, Medina Station.
Medina Station, yeah. Mars. Okay, the one.
Rocinante.
It felt like we were in
Tycho Station. Have we already said that?
Yeah,
Tycho. Cuddly That's toy. Like the... Tease made. Tease made.
Wibbly figure.
On an unrelated note, you're talking about stationery and stuff. When I was in Bath, I was literally saying to Alan, I kind of miss Filofaxes. No, I always had a knockoff one, not an actual Filofax, because I still like writing things down. And also, Filofax is that there's so many cool things that they've managed to put into little flat packages to put in, like, you know, little rulers and fold out maps. You know, there's all sorts of cool things.
That's very nerdy. That's very stationary nerdy, and I appreciate it. I've never had one, but I've always wanted a reason to have a Rolodex. Since I was a kid, whenever I saw a Rolodex on TV or in a film or whatever, I thought that's the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Right, I didn't buy these deliberately because of the design of the backing, but the backing is for the file effects. So it's you know, it's this little note tabs you put in a book or whatever. I use them for role playing games mostly for marking pages. But it's on, you know, file effects ring binder thing, and you know, there's a rule on the edge.
I have a written down address book.
Yeah, well, you know, I lose file. I mean, I'm terrible at keeping notes. I think. Whereas if it's paper written down, I will, you know.
Well,
if
the thing
inside
is,
inside some sort of folder, then I keep it. You know,
the thing is, it's
nice
like
Rolodex,
basically.
I want one.
So anyway, I was saying to Alan, oh, I kind of fancy getting one. And we were walking around the store. I think it was W.H. Smith's or something like that. We were walking around, and there was this little section of actual file of access and a knockoff brand was a bit cheaper, but both of them are so fucking expensive.
Yeah.
How much is it expensive for a file of facts?
Same sort of price you would have paid for it when it was a thing, I thought.
Well,
you know,
I don't know. Is
30
it like
or 40
£10
quid for the small one? The small one. The small one. The really small one. The decent size one, like the middly size, the A5-y size one that I think's a good place.
I think the more
like 50
sort of,
quid, 60 quid.
I think the current version of a file of facts were like, sort of, I guess, more arty, like moleskins. The moleskin.
Notebook things, But, I was looking at getting a folio, though, you know, which is like a little, like I've got, well, you've seen it before. I've got, of course, my clipboard that I got. This one is not, I bought this to replace one that was like really old and falling apart, and it's cheaper and not as good. Although I did googly eye it up.
Yep.
Which they always get squashed when I lean it over. Sorry?
Shout out to the googly eyes.
But the problem with it is it's only really takes one pad, and it's not, you know, that's not a particularly thick pad, but it has trouble with that. And on top of that, the little sleeve pocket thing is very tight. You can't really get much in it. So I was looking at those folio ones, which are like basically the same thing but thicker.
I think we've got to end it here. We're talking about clipboards.
Yeah. Hey, this is serious business.
The reason I keep my addresses in a written address book is that if I die, at least people can then get notified. Because how the hell do you do it?
You're not well.
It's just stuck in your phone.
From current experience, literally, yes, that is an issue. And fortunately, my mum is of an age, or she was of an age, where she was using Facebook. So as long as you knew a couple of her friends, it then got disseminated that way, you know. But I think that's quite.
I've thought about setting up an email with a dead man switch, basically, where I have to you know, say press a button effectively every week or so. Otherwise, this email goes out.
Oh, don't do it every week. That seems like every month. I don't know.
Well,
like
whatever time period, yeah. Anyway,
but here's one
you
thing. Got, my final,
oh,
my
no,
final
you
last wish and testament.
Chris.
Okay.
Okay. Is if I die, you have my. I don't know if it's my permission to give, but you can put a video out on my PeerTube channel just to let people know. Okay.
I'm
dying to go to the loo as well. But you're talking about a dead man switch. You want to be careful what you put in that, how much you reveal, and what have you. You know, in case you get it by accident.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I might be dead, but there's also I might have just changed my email address.